The Veteran Gamers Podcast is not for children, okay? So if you're listening and you're under the age of 18, turn the f***ing show off, you piece of shit.
Stand by for pre-show banter.
We got it cooking, baby. Don't blame me, your love made me crazy. If it doesn't, you ain't doing it right. Reputation, that's a good album, damn it.
And how are you anyway?
Recording in progress.
I am recording.
Indeedy-doody-doo. Do you remember years and years ago when Podbean lost all our podcasts? Do you remember? You don't remember that? Show them to Shiner.
Are we ready to start? Should I begin?
Hi, Tyrone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Fastest.
Let's start
the
motherfucking
ever.
Show, bitch.
Here we go, people. Let's do this.
Another reference by a dude that no one understands.
Welcome, yo, to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Jimmy, out of Fence.
I'm not gonna get interrupted by stupid sound effects.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
Your lips look like you skip it on the
face. It's the Veteran Gamers.
You gotta be that f***ing diamond in the rough. But the only way to become that diamond is by dedication, practice, and doing the shit that other people are too lazy to do.
Hello, darlings.
Hello, darlings, indeed. Hello and welcome to episode 744 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yeah, 744, baby! I'm Duke.
I'm Stu. Yeah.
And Chinny is back, baby. Ain't no
he's
Ben
dead.
Here this week.
He's dead.
We are not military veterans, people. We're veterans of the gaming lifestyle. So put that in your crack pipe and smoke it.
Oh, didn't you hear me?
No, we didn't hear a thing.
And I'm Chinny.
Chinny, you never know if you're having actual problems or if you're goofing with us.
My mic was muted.
Ah, what are you like?
Okay, well, now
honestly.
Now it's not.
That's
it's not
suspicious.
Chinny, yeah, you were gone for a week. How was Shakespeare's baby home?
Yeah, no, that was good. That was Tara's birthday that we went to Stratford-upon-Avon.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was, you know, still there, isn't it? Shakespeare's house.
Yeah.
Is
it still there? I'm surprised.
I'm doubtful whether that's actually Shakespeare's house.
Of course,
you know
it's Shakespeare's
house.
No,
I just think it's just a bloody old house.
What? We don't know exactly where he lives, so let's just say this was his house.
Let's just say this house, which is really old, we'll just keep this one and say this.
You know, this Pez dispenser once belonged to Toni Morrison, the greatest writer in American history. She owned this Pez dispenser.
Can we just say this is akin to me saying we didn't land on the moon or the Americans didn't land
on the
moon?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't say it's not Shakespeare's house. He said he's skeptical about
it. They've got historical records proving that he lived there, for God's sake.
I'm just saying.
I believe it is his house. I think Chinny's
house.
When I went to Verona, and they were like, this balcony is the balcony that Shakespeare wrote about and the balcony that Juliet...
he stole Romeo and Juliet from some Italian storyteller, so...
I was like, was it, though? Was this the balcony? Don't think so. I think it's a balcony.
A statue's there. What's the matter with you? Rub a boob, you get a good look. What's up with you?
Yeah, I did rub that boob.
Everyone rubs that boob. I mean, that boob is the shiniest boob in the world, just say.
Yeah, so...
It's a very shiny boob.
Yeah, went to Stratford, stopped in a hotel with the bab for the first time. That was fine. Everything was fine.
That's good. Cool. Have you got a travel cot? Have you got one of those?
We do.
They're fun. They're, it's a bit like putting up a tent, isn't it? Putting one of those up.
This one's really awkward to put up.
They're all awkward to put up.
Yeah, it's, you've really got to like judge it. You know what I mean? You've really got to give it some...
You've got to like get it into position. I tell you, it's like a tent. It's literally like camping when you go with your baby. And you've got that much stuff. How much stuff do you have to take just to go away for a couple of days? It's like...
Oh, that's right.
You've got to take... It's unbelievable the amount of stuff you've got. Blow up bath.
Yes, it's unbelievable. Yes.
Blow up bath.
Meanwhile, things that people care about. I forgot. You should have gone in like two weeks, dude, because 420 is Shakespeare's birthday.
Fuck that.
Yeah. You're just a minute. You're just interrupting our cute stories about Rosa.
Was that
a
story? I thought it was just you listing stuff you have to take when you go on holiday with a baby.
I was talking about taking his cute baby Rosa.
Sorry. Please continue. Hassle. Tell your story, Stu.
Wow.
So the rest of the story is the end.
Yeah. By the way, I was Manchester. Did you have fun up there?
We go to Stockport. It's not really Manchester. It's Stockport.
Well, it kind of is.
Stockport is the Riviera.
It's a borough of...
yeah.
of Manchester.
Yeah, fine. Just babies everywhere, isn't it?
How's my favourite person, Sim? How is he?
He's good. Yeah, I mean, he's father of two now.
I know, you said.
Yeah, nice. No, it's all fine. You know, we all get tired about 6 o'clock and we're like, right, we're done. Whereas, like, usually a family gathering before babies was, let's stay up till 3 a.m.
Of course, if not later, like, if not later.
6 p.m., we're done. Bowling. We never want to see each other again for another 2 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I think it's time I need to go to bed. So tired. I'm so tired. I'm up all night. Ugh. Babies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody got a story time?
Yes, by the way, I've got a story time.
My favorite time. It's story time.
Story time.
Yeah, Stu, let me hear you shoot.
Holiday. Yeah, I'm on holidays this week, people. Just saying. It's not really a story. It's just I'm on holiday this week. Yeah. No work for me for about 7 days.
Yeah.
I'm going to the beautiful city of York. So there.
Oh, yeah. York's tomorrow. A nice place.
Off to York tomorrow.
Old York. Better than New York.
Yeah. Grand old Duke. He lives there, apparently. Okay. That's you, that is.
Hey, Grand old Duke.
You will hear for the first time from the Duke himself.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Duke of York.
That's from The Scoop, the new Netflix movie about BBC Newsnight interviewing Prince Andrew. It's a good movie.
About the nonce.
To be fair, you know, it's had a bit of criticism because everyone's just saying, just watch the original interview. Why?
Well, that's the thing is that, right. I mean, it's fair. Like, I'm curious to watch the original interview.
It's the same thing.
It's not, though. It's the story about how the interview came to be, isn't it?
Well, you're right, because one of them is real. One of them is the actual real interview. Yeah.
No,
so would you say that the movie Spotlight is pointless because you should just read the articles in the Boston Globe?
No, I get Stu's point because I just went through the Titanic Museum instead of watching Titanic. Okay,
what you need to do is get that submarine down to Titanic because that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I read newspaper clippings about Chernobyl instead of watching the show.
No,
Chernobyl.
Just go to Chernobyl, especially now. It's a really nice place to go
now. Just play it. Just go.
So is that your theory then, Stu? And anytime anything is based on fact, you're like, fuck this. I ain't watching the dramatization of it. I'm just going to read...
Chin. The difference between Chernobyl and Spotlight is the word.
The difference between Chernobyl and Prince Andrew.
Scoop, not Spotlight.
Listen,
you're hitting on Scoop.
We're talking about
Stay
Scoop,
focused.
Whatever. Scoop, right. Whatever. The difference is there were no cameras at Chernobyl when that was melting down. So we haven't actually got historical.
Yeah, but there's no cameras on the behind the scenes.
Stu, do you think that the movie is just the interview? Like, that's all they're showing? Like, let's just recreate the interview and that's it.
I guess.
I was able to convince you about the nature of a movie that came out.
Let's phone I've seen a clip of the prize.
No, but I've seen a clip on TikTok where it's like how the paparazzi guy got the photo of Epstein and the nonce, you know. So like it's interesting. It's a drama. Like,
I mean, it's not the greatest movie ever. If you wanted to know my opinion, which obviously I mean, I'm not saying
it's not Back
does,
to the Future.
What? It's a good movie. Look, it's good for the performances. Gillian Anderson is like a great actor. And so to see her be Emily, what's her name? It was good. And to see the way the story evolved, it's not amazing. It's not nearly as good as Spotlight, but it's interesting enough. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, now you're talking. Gillian Anderson's in it. I'm sold.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see her in a movie, go find Hellcab. She's got like a 2-minute cameo in that movie. Everyone's got just very short roles, but she's great in it.
So why on earth would I watch a movie are you
where
in
she's
for,
only in 2 minutes?
Are you in for it or not? I don't know. Like,
who, me?
Yeah.
No, I quite like
you hated it, and now you went, I love Gillian Anderson.
Well,
so.
You know, when I was younger and I used to watch The X-Files, Gillian Anderson is hot, just saying. And she's still
hot. And she's also a good actor, but, you know, that's much less important than the fact that she's hot.
Gillian Anderson.
No, it is. She's hot.
She is... aging in reverse, that woman. I don't know what is wrong.
She looks very different in this movie. I mean, part of that is makeup, I'm sure, but she just looked very different.
I remember like recently scenes like, that's the woman from X-Files. She must be in her 50s by now. She's beautiful.
She is a good looking woman.
Helen Mirren thing going on.
Helen Mirren, another good looking
woman. The best thing about Gillian Anderson in the one of the best things is that she inspired the Scully effect, where a lot of girls went into STEM because of her. So those fictional characters, man, that has an impact. Representation matters.
Billy Piper, she's fun.
Mm, I'm not. I don't know whether I'm quite as in with that.
I try, listeners.
Fair.
Now we're just going to talk about hot women. Billie
Piper. She's no doubt. She's
no. She loves
woman.
STEM.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know who that is.
No, she doesn't. What? She doesn't. Okay. She doesn't.
She was in a picture of her recently at some premiere for something, and she had hot pants and tights on, and she just
what's wrong with that?
It was a bit mutton dressed as lamb, if I'm being totally
don't
honest.
Don't be so mean
old.
To Billie Piper. She's,
well, she's the one in Scoop. She's the one who plays the other one in Scoop. Okay.
Yeah, but she looked. Oh, that's what it was for. But she looked too old to be wearing that.
So
you know,
Billie,
when you're
like,
wow, still like,
damn.
Billie Piper, just for you, the Americans, Billie Piper was, yes. Look, she started off as a very, very young pop singer. She, when she was
so
16,
Britney Spears, gotcha, big, okay.
Sort of like that,
she's
but
the
like
British,
a sort of
British
one.
Got it.
Yeah, and she was very, I remember her being like really young and it was a bit inappropriate.
And then she married Chris Evans, of all people.
Yeah, not, the, not Captain America.
Cool.
Not Captain
not
America.
That, not
oh,
that
a different
Chris
Evans.
Evans.
Okay.
A ginger
yeah.
one. A ginger.
A ginger
one.
You'll, yeah, totally different.
Yeah.
And he was about typing... twice her age, wasn't
oh,
he?
He
was
looks
yeah.
very
right.
different from the other Chris Evans. The Chris Evans.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely yeah. looks a lot yeah. different.
He looks like
fair play to Chris.
Shaun of
fair
the Dead
the
guy if he was less cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was definitely punching, shall we say.
Anyway, fuck all this.
No, celebrity gossip. That's why we're
yeah,
here, Jimmy. What else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, exactly.
Video games.
So,
does
so,
anybody
dude,
else have an actual story?
Hollywood.
Stu said he had a story, and then it was the story was I'm on holiday. Like,
yeah,
I'm going
on holiday.
York.
Yeah,
that's the story. God damn, York. What a story.
I'm trying to think if I have actually got
we
a
got
story.
Baby goats. We're doing Grendel in AP Lang. What? I'm loving that book. And we went to brunch this morning, and that was fun.
Brunch.
And it's raining. In Wisconsin. All right, I think we need to talk about video games. Chinny, do you got anything?
Nah.
Okay, let's just talk about
where video are you games. Going? Story time's over.
What have you been playing?
Who wants to start?
Wow, is that it? I was having a drink then because I thought that the whole jingle was about
you didn't
play.
Have to start yeah. speaking the second the sound ended.
What the hell is happening?
You're having a drink. Have a drink.
I know.
I get bollocks if I let the song play too much. I get bollocks if I cut it off too short. It's almost like I can't
you?
Win. No, I didn't
not,
say you were
I'm
bollocksing
not.
Me. I said I'm getting bollocksed.
I'm not. Well, it's yeah. bollocking, actually.
Yeah, it's bollocking or
right,
bollocked.
I'm getting a bollock. See, I get bollocked if I don't say the
no,
right
bollocked.
Thing the right
well,
way.
Well, stop
bollocked.
Talking bollocks, then.
Yeah, it's talking bollocks.
I will
you
never stop
bollocked.
Talking bollocksed.
I can't believe an English teacher doesn't know the right way to say a word. Who
well,
knew?
Which side of the pond am I on, Stuart? Do I know
the
these
wrong
phrases? No,
side.
I'm just making... And besides, it's creative license. I can say I'm getting bollocksed. I can say that yeah. if I want to say that.
No,
it may not
bollocked.
Be the expression.
You're getting bollocked.
Well, according to whom?
I'm having a brain aneurysm.
That's not a story
I hope
time.
You're not. Yeah, that is
all right,
a,
if no one's
like, going to
talk, then I'll talk.
Time.
Fuck all y'all. All right, listen, here's the thing about Rocket League. I actually
oh,
have something to say about
Rocket
League.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You,
oh, God.
You can't. You
no,
can't.
I can because listen, I'm going to talk to you about something, Chinny.
There's nothing
listen.
New. What is new?
Sure, let him
I'm
do
not
it.
Talking
let
to
him
you.
Do
I'm talking
it.
To Chinny.
I'll let him do it.
Because Stu can't relate. It. See, I should have talked about this more to Ben last week because he could relate. But I want to know, Chinny, is there, I said last week that Rocket League is a game of will, right? It's about the will to rank. Is there a rank in snooker?
I suppose in the league that I'm playing in, there is a handicap. And
so
the
you have
lower
a handicap.
The lower the number, the
right.
higher the rank. Higher the rank.
So what is your handicap?
But mine is I have a problem with the guy that dishes out the handicap because it's not.
As
it's not
talking about rank and handicap. My handicap's
yeah,
not
but
actually.
I would be happy if it was some sort of algorithm that somebody
yes.
worked out.
Right.
right.
It's just a
but
guy
it is
deciding what it is.
It's this fucking twat, right?
I got you.
Right, and because. I would say averages are better. Stu, you know snooker a little bit. Averages,
I know snooker.
Averages over a season, so yep. 9 months. So how many you win over 9 months is a better way to judge someone's performance than a one-off break, correct?
Well, you've proven my
point. I would have said
it's
so, yeah.
bullshit. Anyway, don't get me started on Mark, because Mark's a twat.
Here's the
so
thing.
So what's your handicap?
You've
never told
me.
No, that's
true.
You
haven't
never
said.
Told
what
me.
Is it?
Come
it's
on,
six,
my handicap is 28. So,
okay,
like, my problem, my issue is that he knocked it down. Right? Sorry, Dig. You
it's
said
okay.
It now, right?
Every word you say is proving my point more.
My,
so please
my issue,
going.
Right, is that he knocked it. It used to be 32. It goes up in fours. It used to be 32. He knocked it down into the 20s. 20s is when, if you're in the 20s, it's pretty good, right?
Right.
Because some people are in the 40s and 50s and 60s, right? So, and I said, why is my fucking handicap in 28? He says, well, you got the highest break in the Division 4 last year. I was like, that's just me playing well once.
Your average.
And I worked out, your average was 67. The other bloke that he plays on his team was 71% average. You both play better than me, and your handicap hasn't changed. And I got very pissed off about it.
Yeah. You see, but what's interesting, Duke, is that means he's higher ranked, but he doesn't want to be.
Correct. Because in the individual tournaments, this is what they're doing. So in the individual tournaments, your handicap is basically how many points you start with. So it holds a lot of weight.
It makes your life more difficult because you then
we're in a semi-final cup on Tuesday. Semi-final, Stu. Professional.
That's impressive.
We get refs turning up. We have to wear shirts and shoes.
Oh, my God.
Right. And because I'm on 28, I only get like a 28 star. If I was 32, I'd get 4 more points. That's a lot of points. Yes. It's a foul.
It is. 4 points can be the difference between winning and losing.
You know? Yes. So, yeah. So I'm a bit miffed. Anyway, sure. Go on. Sorry.
So my point, however, that I was trying to prove, which you proved very well. Thank you.
Mark.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Mark. Fucking Mark. My point is, rank matters.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. See, I don't know if Stu can relate because he doesn't do anything competitive. He doesn't have.
No, but I realize.
What are you talking about? I used to play in a squash league.
Great. What was your rank in the squash league?
I was in League 10, sort of out of 25 leagues.
Okay.
So you can relate
to the notion of rank being important then. Okay,
but also like Call of Duty prestiging and stuff. That was
nobody gives a shit about that. Tell me anytime you ever looked at anyone's rank in Call of Duty and say,
in Halo 3, your rank used to go up and down. It was a true rank.
Sure.
So that's more.
I'll take your word for it. The point is this. Yeah. I realized that because normally my attitude is like rank is a decoration. I play to have fun. I was playing with someone today and they were like, holy shit, you got 1600 wins. What is wrong with you? And I'm like, I play the game a lot because it's fun. And then sometimes people will be like, how have you got so many hours and you still this rank? You suck. And I'm like, whatever, dude. I play to have fun. Rank's just a decoration. But I've come to understand that if my rank drops too low, it's genuinely frustrating. And like, I have to find this middle balance between, you know, recognizing that it's just a decoration mostly, it doesn't really matter, and admitting the fact that I do care about my rank and I don't want it to tank. And so when I make mistakes, I get mad at myself. When my teammate messes up, I had this game, this person, I was like, I was on the headset because I just turned the headset on by default. Most people had their headsets off, but I had my headset on. This person had their headset on, and it tells you, like, you have joined the team chat, and the other person has too. So I know, okay, we're both on the headset. As I said, you know, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? The other team scored a goal. And I was like, because he missed. And I was like, all right, no worries. Don't worry about it. Let's just communicate and rotate, and we can win this. And apparently when I said that, he heard, you fuck, you missed, you suck. And so he said, oh, you're going to talk shit? Fine, I quit. And he just stopped playing. And I was like, what is wrong with these angry children? All I said was, let's rotate and communicate and win this game. And he took it as...
I feel like he maybe took it that you were patronizing him, maybe.
I guess, but what did I say that was patronizing? That's what I say to everybody. Let's communicate and rotate and win this. What's patronizing?
What he should have done was go, let's do this! That's what he should have done.
I guess I need to talk more like a bro.
Yeah,
that's what
he should have done.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's just go and do this.
Let's go.
No, that's the boomer version of it. Let's just go and do this.
Let's go.
Let's go.
We have a who's done it on our hands. No, we have a who has done this.
Who has done this now?
Yeah, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
How inconvenient.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one story is like, or one recognition that I've had is that like, it's a game of will to rank. Like I want to have a rank that matches it. I want a rank that matches my skill. You know what I mean? And if I don't have a rank, like
you
if
do.
You have a handicap that matches your skill, right, Chinny?
Yeah, but that isn't worked by an algorithm, is it? That's worked
out
by some
twat. This is definitely by an algorithm.
Yeah, but on the other hand, my teammates can tank my rank, can't? In the same way that this
Correct.
Person can have an impact.
Yeah,
on
I guess. I
okay,
guess
that's all I'm saying. And it's very frustrating when I'm playing okay. I mean, look, again, as always, I'm the first to admit that I make a lot of mistakes, okay? I'm not saying I should be champ or grand champ, but I'm saying like my level of play. When I play, well, here's the thing, and here's how I know. When I play casual, there are people who have this mod installed that can see your MMR, whatever the fuck that is, right? It's some sort of, that's the actual algorithm for rank. Yeah, your MMR.
Right.
And there are people who have...
Apparently, Chinny, that's mumps, measles, and rubella, apparently.
Yeah, oh, okay. See what you did there. Or some, I don't, maybe I had the acronym wrong. I don't know. Anyway, there's this thing that some people have, and they see on their screen. That's how the dude knew I had 16,000 wins or whatever. So I was, so he was like, wow, are you champ? And I was like, no, I'm plat three right now. He's like, dude, you're playing really well in this. Because apparently in the casual lobbies, it's only based on that number. Whereas in the ranked lobbies, you know, competitive lobbies, you have an actual rank and it goes up or down after every match, right? Mm. So it's a longitudinal thing for the casual lobbies. And it's a season by season, you know, game by game rank in the competitive lobbies. So the only reason I mention it is because, you know, in the casual lobbies, I feel like my skill level is around diamond. And that's all I want to be, is just diamond. Once I'm at diamond, I'm cool. I'm like, okay, I'm where I should be. But when I'm stuck in plat, I'm like, I don't deserve to be here. Fuck. Such a plat
so anyway, bitch.
You see, I'll compare it. This is what it was like when I used to play squash.
Yes.
This is what I played squash, right? Yes. So I used to hover around league 10 or 11. And this is what used to happen, right?
Okay.
I used to beat the same players and I used to lose against the same players. And I never used to go up or down, really.
Sure. You found your spot. You found your lane.
That was about as good as I got. Yeah. So about midway down the leagues was about as high as I got. But I wasn't bothered because I used to just play for fun. But I must admit, it used to become a little bit soul destroying when you got beaten by the same people every time you played them.
That's
you know?
The thing. I guess I don't mind that so much. It's like if you had dropped to, would you say at a 20 or 25? If you had dropped to 15.
Yeah, there were 25 leagues.
See, if you had dropped to 15, then you'd be frustrated. That's where I feel I'm at. It's like I'm not where I should be, and I'm just like trying to get there. I'm like, oh, come on. So whatever. End of the day, it's about having fun. But here's the other story I'll tell about Rocket League this week. So attention, everybody. I have to warn you, there's something loud coming. Oh, man, I deleted the long version of it. Whatever. As they said on The Simpsons.
Oh, no.
Guard your ears.
Guard your ears with Gorman's ear guards. I was playing with this guy, and I had my mic on, and he was in the... He could hear me, but he didn't have his mic on, right? Okay. So we're playing the game, and I'm communicating constantly. I'm like, I'm going back to get boost. Like, I'm centering the ball. Like, hey, let's just make sure we don't double commit, you know, whatever. Oh, good block, good shot, you know, all that stuff. We get to, we tie it up. We go into overtime, right? And I center the ball so that he can score. He misses the shot. And I say, oh, close one. The other team scored. They win. And I said into the mic, you know, hey, good game, dude. Thanks for playing with me. He unmutes himself. I'm going to drop my mic a little bit. He goes, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You fucking suck. You fucking piece of shit. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck.
Wow, that is taking it a bit.
And I was
too
like,
far.
What the? I couldn't. I tried to say, like, dude, are you okay? Like, you're about to have a brain aneurysm. And he just wouldn't stop. He just over and over, shut the fuck, shut the fuck, shut the. And I was like, what
these
the
people
hell,
must
bro?
Have mental issues.
I'm
Come on,
saying,
that's not
though,
normal behavior.
Every day, there's some version of that in this game. And okay, the smart person would say, the risk of having to deal with someone like that is so great, I just shouldn't play it. But it's such a fun game, and I'm not... Why should I stop playing a fun game? Because these psychopaths
but why
are
does
everywhere.
He, what I want to know is this, right? Is that how he acts in normal life?
Exactly.
His job, for instance, if something doesn't go his way,
right.
Does he
Amen.
Say to his boss... Shut
Preach.
The fuck up in his
right.
face over and over and over
yes.
again.
I'm
no,
sorry,
no,
sir.
He probably doesn't.
Sir, the McFlurry machine is broken. We can't get you a McFlurry today. Oh, motherfucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
why
so
if they don't do
ridiculous.
That in the real life? Well, he may do it in his real life.
He might do it in the real life.
But
it's because
if he doesn't, why right. does he think that's okay to do in a game?
Yeah, again, I have thoughts. I don't know for sure. Nobody can know for sure. We can't know. But my thought is, because I see that rage building in me when I play this game. And I think it's, first of all, attaching to rank, getting fixated on how important rank is, and being mad when you lose because it means your rank drops. If people lose in a casual lobby, generally speaking, they're like, whatever. Right. And so when you lose, especially in a ranked game, I think a lot of people start thinking about why their team lost. And a lot of times it's, okay, you can either get mad at yourself for the mistakes you've made, or you can get mad at the other person. And if the other person is talking a lot in the headset and you'd rather they didn't talk quite so much, then it can easily turn into, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Duke, right? I will be honest. I think if I was that sort of person who just wanted to concentrate on playing the game and you're like, you know, no offense to you, but talking constantly, I think that would probably annoy me a little bit as well.
But you know what you would do, Stuart? You would just go into the settings and mute me.
Well, maybe, but he was probably that much into the game. He probably couldn't be bothered doing that.
Oh, every time anybody scores, you have 10 seconds to do what you need to do. He could have easily.
Well, maybe.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, you don't know this about me, but I talk a lot. I'm aware of that.
But and I do. I'm totally aware of it. But this is the thing. You see, had you won, he probably would have been fine. But the fact that you talked a lot and then lost, it was probably just lost it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, whatever. At the end of the day, I feel sorry for him. I'm sick of dealing with these angry children.
Still not appropriate behavior, by the way, should I point out.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the thing. I wish the game weren't so fun. If the game, like, you know, Dota, League of Legends, Call of Duty, all these games, I've come and dropped into them and dropped out. Overwatch, I played for a while. I can step away from any of those because they're not, you know, they're fun, but they're not that much fun. Something about Rocket League, man. It's oh, God. I don't know what it
is. But it's hooks, man. It's hooks are in you forever.
Oh, God, it's hooks into me.
And it is forever, I fear.
Well, I mean, maybe. We'll see. I mean, I've stepped away from other games. But
yeah, but how long have you? How many years is Rocket League now for you? It's a long,
4,000 hours worth of years.
Yeah, it's a long, long time.
I'm done talking
about
Rocket
League. I doubt you'll ever step away.
Well, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Right, I'm going to just go straight into this because I feel like I have to.
Straight in.
So, as you know, the last couple of weeks I played Scarlet Hollow and I also played Slay the Princess. I decided to go down the visual novel rabbit hole. I was
he's hooked now. Speaking of gotten their hooks in him.
What other visual novels could I
play?
You
mean you decided to go down the let's play a bunch of shit game?
Well... So I looked up what are the best, you know, visual novel games to play. You know, let's see. Let's have a look on Reddit. Let's have a look in other places. Let's see what people
Reddit
recommend.
Hoi Polloi, the most... No, Hoi Polloi is an ordinary people.
So what is the best game
upper
to
crust.
Play?
Yeah, okay. So now, what did they tell
now,
you?
Now, one of these games was free. So I thought, well, that's a good price.
It's a good start, isn't it?
It's a bit rubbish. It's a free game. I've not invested any money in this.
Stuart the Stingy.
No, it had great reviews. It's got 10 out of 10 on Steam, off thousands of reviews.
And also
this game is very highly regarded. It's just a bonus that it's free as well.
By the way, that's the other reason Rocket League is filled with sour children, is because it's free. If there was an admission cost, you'd have fewer children. Go ahead.
I do feel like, Duke, this is a game you would appreciate. I do.
I looked at the little sample thing there. I'm not getting into this game. 12-year-olds in short
love.
Skirts. No, thank you.
Well, you would love, but
no. Absolutely not.
Is called Doki Doki Literature Club.
See, he's just making up words now, people. That's not a real name.
This is actually the name of this game.
Jesus Christ.
What's surprising, though, now you're saying all this stuff, the amount of people on my friends list that have played this game and finished it. Because there's a massive list of people. There's about at least 15 people off my friends list that have played this game prior to me playing it, right? Okay. One of which is Tainted Brain, can I say?
Ooh,
right? So Tainted Brain has played.
Don't out people.
Yeah, I'm really, man. What did Brian ever do?
And I thought, well, maybe they just played it for 5 minutes and stopped. But no, they've all played it for 5 hours, which is the length of the game.
God.
So nearly everybody who's played it has finished it.
Okay, right? the premise of the game is?
It's a dating game, kind of. But it isn't a dating game either.
we spoke too soon. Because the real nature of the game is...
Yeah, it's horrific, mate. It's absolutely
Legend of the
Overfiend.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the warning at the beginning of the game kind of gives you some idea because it said if you suffer from tentacle assault. No. It's warning if you suffer from depression or have suicidal thoughts.
God.
Do not play this game. If you're easily disturbed, do not play this game. If you are under the age of 13, which I'll be honest, I think this should be over the age of 18.
Oh,
But he says, if you're under the age of 13, do not play this game. You have been warned. Don't play this game. So obviously I played the game, you know, I was just like, oh, what's up with that? And yeah, it's pretty shocking. I've got to say, I was waiting because obviously it's all these warnings at the beginning and you're just like, well, nothing's happened. Yeah,
so,
all these
so,
girls
so it's a dating sim at first. And when did you realize it was something more than just a dating sim?
Oh, it's quite a way in. You play quite a lot of the game before something really shocking happens.
Okay.
But when you it can't tell us does happen... Yeah, it would be a massive spoiler for anyone who... I would recommend people play this, but it's not for the faint-hearted. And it has very graphic depictions of stuff, is the best way to put it. But it is very clever. I must admit, the ending is brilliant. It does break the fourth wall. It does a lot of that stuff towards the end of the game. It is kind of poking fun a little bit at dating games. The main mechanic of the game is it's just ridiculous, really. So you join a literature club. Your bestest friend from when you were a kid like convinces you to come along to, you know, have you joined the club yet? Yeah, come and join the literature club. And you basically got to pick words to create poems. And then you just exchange poems in the main game. So you read what they've written, they read what you've written, and then they critique it, etc. And there's other stuff going on. You build relationships, and I don't even know how to do it. It's not an enjoyable game because of the subject matter. So that's probably not the best way to describe this. But it is very interesting. I think is the best way to say it. It's kind of a cool game. It's cool at the end, but it's not. I don't know how it can be cool. It's just weird because of the stuff that's in it isn't cool. But it does depict some real life stuff that people go through, I guess.
Okay.
So there you go. I don't know how else to describe it, but yeah, Doki Doki.
The reception part of the Wikipedia page says that one reviewer said it was a postmodern love letter to the genre it represents and compared its deconstructive quality to Undertale and Pony Island. And yeah. I'm never going to go near this game.
No, I mean, it's very, very clever how it works.
Well, it's very clever.
And the stuff, it links to stuff in real life. So the stuff you have to do in real life, that's linked to the game itself.
Okay.
It's very clever. It's been out a long time, by the way. It's been out, I think it's about 2016.
I just don't think it's my jam, but I'm glad you like
it. I don't think it is. I definitely don't think it is. But if you're interested at all in these types of games, it's a weird game.
And you don't suffer from depression or anxiety, and you don't mind seeing horrible violence.
Yeah, you don't.
For it.
Yeah. If you don't suffer from depression or have suicidal thoughts or anything like that, you'll be okay. But... I definitely wouldn't recommend it for anybody who's in the least bit, you know, any of that stuff. The only thing I would say is when I was playing it, it was almost like if Kay came down and saw this on the screen, what the hell would she think? Because he does have all those tropes of these sort of weird dating sims, you know.
12-year-old girls in very short skirts trying to get you to go on a date.
Accentuated body parts, if you will.
Yes, highly sexualized preteens. Got it.
Yeah, but I think some of that's to ape the genre it's sort of deconstructed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the genre it's in, so, you know.
Yeah.
Do the thing to make fun of the thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it is very, that being said, it's very well written. The dialogue in the game is really well, and it is totally reading Chini, so you would hate this.
I'm not going fucking near this thing.
No, there is actually, I tell a lie, right, very, very right at the end, there is some spoken dialogue, but the sort of 99% of the game is all written.
Oh, I'm in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that 30 seconds of spoken dialogue could be fun.
Indeed. But yeah, very clever, very impressed. I've got another load of these lined up to play, so I'm going to start playing one of these a week. Wow. I started and finished this in the week. I was totally engrossed in it.
So the thing I'm waiting for, Stu, is at some point, is there going to be like a life-size cutout of some like waifu in the back? And you're just like, oh, that's my friend, Kim, you know, Kia-san. Like, that's just...
No, the other ones I've picked to play... The other ones I picked to play aren't like this one.
Franco on 30 Rock. Like, no, just...
Yeah, I've got Steins Gate lined up, which is by the same people who did 999 and those sorts of games.
Okay.
So,
Yeah.
So that should be fine. It is Japanese, but will be less This isn't Japanese, by the way. It's not even made by a Japanese developer, I don't think.
Really? Wow. Okay.
No.
Well, they so nailed the aesthetic.
They did. Oh, totally nailed it. Totally nailed it. The artwork's great, by the way. Really, really cool artwork, but not for the faint-hearted, so that's my warning, but definitely play it because it is interesting. It's a very clever game.
Okay.
So there you go. Ginny, over to you.
Ginny, you're up.
Play my game, bitch.
Yeah, shall we do that?
Let's talk about it. Bitch, 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 bitch. Yeah, bitch! Yeah,
we're
bitch!
Play my game, bitch.
This week's Play My Game, bitch, is Evil West.
And if you've been listening to Beyonce's new album, that fits perfectly with this.
Yeah, but this ain't Texas. Western.
This ain't Holden.
So, yes, this is developer called Flying Wild Hog. Polish.
Yeah. Yep.
Polish.
Dutch is going to Poland soon.
Maybe cool. Meet them. Third person brawler shooter-ish.
You're punching things mostly.
And shooting stuff.
And then the
I
general
didn't get to the part where you're shooting stuff, so I'll take your word on
there's,
that. Shit.
There's definitely shooting stuff. And then you play a cowboy called Jesse Rentier, a member of the last of the vampire hunters, basically. And you just can't get the work these days. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just not enough vampire work out there.
Yeah.
So that's it. You
vampires.
Start off.
Everybody likes vampires.
You start off and you got to blow up a bridge, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, we're gonna blow this bloody bridge up," and everybody's like, "Why?
Yeah, there's a vampire bridge in there." Yeah,
and then you sort it out.
There's monsters, and you go and punch the monsters.
Developer was inspired by, can you guess the games? That
Red Dead Redemption, I'm guessing.
No. I think gameplay.
Brawlhalla.
Gameplay. What?
What was the one where you're shooting and punching things?
I don't know. There's a lot of them sort of games.
There's a lot of games doing that, Duke.
There's a lot of games where you shoot and punch stuff. Duke, just
I've shot and punched things.
By the developer
things,
of another game. Where,
again, a lot of developers have made other games.
I know. I'm being very imprecise with my description.
What game do you think this is like?
The game? I can't remember the name of it.
I don't know. It's just a shooting
game. It's not a shooting game. It's a brawler.
I don't know. Go on. Just for God's sake, just tell us.
Developers was inspired by God of War 2018.
Oh, of course,
And Devil May Cry.
Which
would make sense because of the.
Well, it kind of does, but there's not a lot of combo. I mean, Devil May Cry is all about the crazy combos, and
but I suppose
this game does want you to do combos. They have like
juggling and stuff.
Yeah.
So mainly, it's a brawler, really. You punch things and you can uppercut things and there's some spikes and you can knock them. Zombie vampire fucked up things and knock them into that.
And sometimes there's very big zombie vampire things that have big sword things that fuck you up.
Yes. So yeah. I'm sort of gauging that you didn't really like this.
Well, I was having fun until I got to the dude with the big sword thing, and then you do the combo where you grab the sword and you slice him open and over in the chest, and then you leave the sword behind and continue punching people. Wait, take the sword! What are you doing? And then I'm punching people and I'm punching, and here comes super double bonus big dude with even bigger sword slicing and killing me. Here's homeboys up on the rock. I got you. I got a gun. Ready? Okay, I'm gonna not shoot him while you go ahead and just punch him. You punch him and I'll be up here with the gun. Shoot the dude with your gun.
He did. Nope. No, whoa, whoa.
Dead,
to be fair,
dead.
Start over.
You know what?
This game, I'm done.
No. To be fair, he did shoot him quite a few times when I was playing.
Not in my game. He didn't kill him.
He obviously didn't kill him because
you've
still got to do some work.
I didn't see any health coming off of him because a homeboy up on the cliff.
Yeah,
with a shotgun.
He did. Yeah, he did
okay,
in my game.
I'll take
I
your word
you
on that
you.
Because I just died seven times and I said, "Fuck."
The mechanic is basically you brawl, you walk through, and then your
combos.
Sort of, your mate.
Bulletstorm. Thank you, James Bevan. That's the game I was thinking of.
Your buddy sort of shoots from afar, or sometimes he throws dynamite from afar.
Yeah, you can play. By the way, you can play this in co-op. So someone
can
else.
You?
Yes, you can.
Oh, didn't know that.
Which would make more sense, really.
Having a gun would make sense. I mean, if you're going to blow up a gun, you better have a gun.
If you
didn't,
I didn't have a gun.
At no point when I was playing this game
if you
play
for long enough, you get a gun.
Well, guess what? If I get killed 7 times in a row, I'm not having fun.
Dude, if you played a game for more than 5 minutes, you'd have got a gun.
You get a gun.
Well, I get... Okay. Well,
it wasn't that long in. It wasn't that long in.
It wasn't really too...
I don't understand why you don't have a gun at the start of the game.
Because it just...
It's a tutorial, isn't it? It's just showing you...
It's a tutorial. Why can't I skip it and move on to the actual game? I'm not getting killed every 5 seconds.
Dude, you're so impatient.
I'm sorry for not being better at game... Impatient? How many times...
You are impatient.
I died 7 times in a row. Why? How many times should I have died?
Well, you should suck less at games. That's not the game's fault.
Wow, we're going there.
Yeah,
huh? Okay, fair enough.
Well, I did all right. Did you do all right, Ginny? Did you die 7 times?
No holds.
I'm just asking a question.
No, I know, and I'm just making a note.
Ginny, did you die 7 times? Just ask.
No.
No, and I didn't die 7 times either. Okay. You suck at games. You do know what it is because you play too much Rocket League.
This is the 7th of April, 2024. Just making sure. That's fine.
Wow, just saying. I can't help it. You suck at it.
Yeah, I can't help. That's sure.
I feel like he's just wrote you down on some sort of hit list.
Yeah.
I just like Billy Madison again.
Can I just say,
dude, people
it's like having Rain. It's like having Rain Man on the podcast. It's like,
now I'm Rain Man. Because
Yeah.
Holy
he punched and hit me. He punched and hit me on the 7th. He punched and hit me on the 7th.
Damn, to write it down. Took the right thing away from Rain Man, dude.
Well, no, but that's what he does. Every time he wronged him, he wrote it down in his book. That's what you're doing. So obviously, that's what I'm thinking.
I just want to know what the rules are for our conversations. If the rules are like make fun of each other because we didn't have fun in a game, okay, cool. I'm just trying to remember for next time.
No, what it is, dude, right? I'm going to be totally honest with you, dude.
Be totally honest.
When we do these games, you barely give them a chance. Every week you're the same. You barely get past the tutorial because you don't.
Is that true about Frontier Lightyear, the one we played last year? Is that true about that?
Whoa, let me ask you a question though. How many of those types of games do you play on an average?
A lot of them.
So you're going to like that. When you play something that's not in your definite comfort zone, you just go, fuck it, I'm done. I'll play
except
it for 5 minutes. If I don't get
except,
on here.
Except for Return to Grace, we've got to.
There's
should
no
I keep going? I mean, is
game,
this.
Though. There's no challenge. There's no challenge in that game. When you get a bit challenging, you're just not prepared to give it a chance.
Like Rocket
I'm sorry,
League.
But that's what I think. I'm just saying what I think.
Rust, Call of Duty, Battle. Like, I don't play these games. Is that...
Rust. No, you play all those sorts of games, though. But those are your type of games. When you play something that you don't necessarily...
Well, you just said I don't play games that are too challenging. And I'm trying to suggest to you that I play games that are challenging.
Rust can be, but it's not necessarily.
You don't think Rust is necessarily
I'm just saying how I feel. You don't give these games...
I'm just responding to what you say.
You make a judged opinion on it.
Would you say Destiny 2 is at all challenging?
No, well, I don't know why you're so rubbish at this game, then. Explain.
I don't either. Look, maybe if I had kept at it, you're right. I would have liked it more. But
you would have got a gun. You'd have got 2 guns. You got 2 guns, in fact. Okay.
The record shows that I have in the past quit games because of difficulty with weapons, The Witcher, and then gone back later and said, this is not too bad once you figure out how the weapons work. So maybe that's the case with this game. Maybe I was unfair.
Anyway, I think it's pretty good. I'll tell you what I did like. I liked all the auto contextual stuff. You don't have to press a button to jump over stuff. Or
because you suck
stuff.
At games, you can't figure out how to jump over stuff. Is that?
No, I just think it's just more fluid. It's more fluid. Why press a button for some of that? It's just so rudimentary.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? I like the fact that he went, you don't need to press a button. Yeah, what's the point? But obviously, you have to press buttons when you're fighting because that's where the skill.
I would like it if you didn't, because then it's more fun if you don't have to press buttons.
It would be more fun if you didn't have to do any fighting. I don't know. What do you think, Chinny? I don't know what else to say.
So Evil West is a cowboy brawler game.
So, Chinny, what do you think?
So far I got.
I want you to read the Wikipedia article. Tell us what you think, Chinny. Goddamn.
So far I got before the full-on argument went out.
We're too alike. That's the problem. Me and Stuart.
I really liked it.
Go ahead.
I really liked it.
Yeah. No, I was like, when did this fucking game happen?
It's 2022. I went to have
a look
at it.
No, it was a rhetorical question, Stu.
I was like, I was the same, though. I was like, when did this come out? So I went to look and it was 2022.
I was like, when did this come out? Like, this is great.
And yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
It feels like somebody went, hey, you know, God of War, yeah, we should do that. And it's like, what about? Don't know, just figure it out later. Right. Yeah. But but we can't be gods. I don't know, cowboys. Like, who cares, right? And because the story is pants.
Garbage.
Basically.
It's garbage.
It's stupid. It's just like, you're a vampire hunter. Who cares? But great enemy variety. Good design.
Good boss fights. I like the boss fights.
It's just, it feels like a B movie game. You know, that's
definitely.
Like, just, In the back in the 360 days when you used to get these games and you're just like, this is great, this is fine, this just plays well, it does what it needs to do. It just feels like a sort of traditional game. I suppose the only disservice is that it's sort of simple, really. Like it you know, it's got all the perk system. It's very predictable. Like it's just, yep, you go in an arena, you beat some people up, and then you rank up, and
it's,
you got a new thing.
Nothing new or revolutionary.
No, but like...
people who like
fine.
It does it well. I think it does it really well.
It sort of feels like, I don't know, you know when Marvel movies were good, and they were coming out, and they were good, you're like, yeah. I don't know, it's just another one of them. Like, there's a bad guy, you fight them, and then they win. Like, who cares? Like, it's great. Just like just a roller coaster,
and it looks pretty good, by the way. We should say graphically,
it's great,
great sort of locations and stuff.
I was like blown away of how good it looked and how good it played. And I was like, this is when did this happen? Like,
Isn't it weird how you miss these sort of games? You just missed them, though.
If this came out in 2007, this probably would have been like game of the year.
I agree. I think this would have been that up the like that sort of ranking.
But now it's like, no, who gives a shit? Like, I don't know, it's just one of them. So it shows you how hungry we are as gamers to look for the things that blow us away and how just sort of formulaic and how far we've come, I suppose. Yeah. Because like 10, 15 years ago, this would have been mind-blowing, but now it's
I mean, I've got to say one other thing. I mean, just going back to Duke's point, I think once you work out the sort of how to do the combat and roll and dodge and all that kind of stuff, it does become easier, you know what I mean? There is a learning curve, though. There's a learning curve too,
there's a learning curve,
In Duke's defense, both you and I, Chinny, have played a lot of God of War games and these types of games, and I played loads of Devil May Cry games, so I guess we're just more practiced at it, I suppose, because we play those types of games a lot. Where Duke doesn't.
Could be. I don't know. Yeah, it's certainly not like it doesn't help you. You know, when in God of War, the genius thing that they did in God of War was that they had that head on your belt that told you when somebody was behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas on this, you don't have stuff like that.
No, you've got to be aware. You've got to be aware of what's going on.
I feel like one of the things I didn't like about it is that you very rarely get the chance to properly batter an enemy because there's always another enemy. You get about two hits before another enemy tries to get in.
Yeah.
So you never really get the chance to sort of...
Yeah, it doesn't give... Some games, they give you that sort of almost like one-on-one thing, even though there's a group of enemies, they kind of come in one at a time. This doesn't. They just come in.
So it's not. Difficult as a sort of like a Souls game, but it's
no, definitely not. And I do like the finishes and stuff. You know, if you shoot an enemy enough, you can then do a finisher on them.
I mean, it's God of War, really. I mean, it is a God of War.
It's not as fluid or as exciting as God of War.
It's trying to be that type of game, though.
Yeah, but in the Wild West.
I might carry on playing it.
Yeah, I might play a bit more of this. I played it today, but and then I had to finish the Uncharted thing, so I was like, oh, I better get back on that because I've obviously got to finish that for tonight. So I stopped playing it just for that reason, really.
So it's a thumbs up from me.
Massive thumbs up from me. And Duke?
Duke is putting his thumb down.
Yeah, thumb down.
Yeah. Thumbs down from Duke.
Yep.
But there you go. Anyway. Moving on, Duke, what else have you got?
So there's a game called Starfield, and I mentioned last week that I'm really enjoying this game, and I continue to enjoy it. There are some interesting powers, so, you know...
Yeah, but you suck at it, though.
Yeah, I do suck at it.
Yeah, do you suck?
Well, it's not hard, though, so it's okay for me to be good at it and enjoy this.
You keep dying,
game. It's not hard.
You keep dying, you noob.
No, I don't. I don't think I've died once. Anyway, But I have died in another game that I've been playing. We'll get to that. So Starfield. So I don't think Fallout has like powers really. But Skyrim obviously has the dragon shouts. You know. So this game has something kind of like the dragon shouts in the form of these powers. And there are some interesting ones. One of them is your personal oxygen field. So when you run, you have an oxygen meter, and when it's depleted, then you start using up CO2, and then the red meter shows up, and it's like, you better stop, because if you keep going, you will pass out. So basically, it's a way to keep you from just sprinting everywhere. But this power, when you activate it, it just refills your oxygen tank, and you just have full oxygen until it wears off. So it's a nice little way to keep going with, you know, if you're sprinting places or presumably in a fight, it might be useful to help you run away from people. So that's pretty cool. There's one called precog, like precognition, where when you go into a conversation with somebody, when you hover over the options for dialogue, it'll show you what they will say in response to that line of dialogue.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is cool, and it could be useful when you're trying to get someone to do something, but it goes away once you enter a persuasion challenge.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
It's like one time when it's... Right, exactly. That's what everyone online is saying. Like, what the... Because I was like, am I doing it wrong? And then I went looking for, you know, like forums and stuff. And everybody on Reddit and the Steam conversations is like, what the fuck is the point of this shit? And I was that's what I was wondering. So that's a shame. But there is one called Gravity Wave, which is basically the same as the Fus Ro Dah in Skyrim. Push people away, which is really handy. And there's another one that will lift them up in the air. So it'll like suspend them in this floating cloud and stuff, which is kind of cool. Because again, you know, it helps you turn the tide of a battle, you know, or like, you know, you can save ammunition because then, or when you're reloading, you put them in the air, you reload, and then you're, you know, taking them down, which is pretty cool. So it's clear that there's a bunch of these that you're going to collect over the course of the game. So, you know, it's a nice thing that, you know, okay, I'll see what the next little possibility is, the next little power that I'm going to unlock. The persuasion challenges continue to be a pain in the ass. And I've maxed out my persuasion now. I've got like 30% more likely to persuade people, but it's still just pants.
Max is 30%.
I think it's either 30 or 40%. So yeah, that I've got the max possible. Because I usually go right for persuasion. I want to do everything I can to not be thrown away when I can't persuade someone of something. So I was complaining last week about the follower system, and it turns out it is actually better than I realized. Because if you have someone on your crew, but they're not in your ship, there is something, someone, I don't remember who it was, thank you, whoever it was, said, you know, look at your list of followers, and it'll tell you where they are. So that's pretty cool, because then you can say, okay, I want to go find this person at the lodge or whatever it is. And if, so I was doing a mission where my follower couldn't join me, and I should have known that Bethesda would say at one point, your follower has to wait here. But instead, I just said, hey, wait here, I'll be right back. And I said, you know, there's an option when you have a follower, like, just wait here. As soon as you do that, it puts a quest into your activities list that says, go find your follower again. So you can easily find where your follower is if you just choose that quest and then just follow it back to wherever you left them, which is nice, because there have been times in Skyrim where I've told someone, let's just wait here, and then I forget to pick them up again. And then I'm like, where the fuck are they? You know, and they're like halfway through Blackreach or something. I'm just like, I don't know where my person is. So.
Yeah. So you liking it?
So you enjoy it. How many hours in are you, Duke?
I don't know. Let me pull up the X, because I'm still playing this on Game Pass. Yeah, let's find out in real time, people. How many hours we got on Starfield? Last played, time played, NA. Why does it say NA? That's weird.
I don't know.
Not available. That's bizarre. All the achievements are locked? No, why are those achievements locked? I'm playing this. You know why? Because I launch it through Steam, I guess. And so maybe it thinks it's not tracking the fact that I'm playing. That's weird.
Interesting.
Whatever. Anyway, I've been
They don't want you to know, so you just keep playing
it. Yes. My guess would be that it's about 20 or 30 hours that I've been playing this so far.
Oh, it's pretty good then. You're starting to chip away.
Starting to chip away. And I'm doing this quest line that you see on the screen here. It's for this company, Ryujin Company. And, you know, I'm thinking most of the time in Fallout, like, you do a quest, it's going to be basically go here, kill a bunch of monsters, come back, you know, bring me this thing, whatever. And in this game, this quest line, it's all corporate espionage. And it's like, go get the secret file from this person's computer and don't get seen. And I'm like, okay, I got to make sure I'm not seen. I hate stealth missions, but whatever. I signed up for this. Let me just do it. So I'm like ducked down. I'm making sure the guard who's on his, you know, routine back and forth in the office area is like not seeing me. And then he sees me and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to start it over again. And he just walks right past. I'm like, well, fuck. And then I Hello. Stood up and I'm like jumping around and he's just doing his rounds.
Hello.
And I'm like, well, fuck. I know. I'm like, okay. I guess it didn't matter that I'm...
The secret base. This way.
Can you tell me where the secret file is? Yeah, on that computer over there. Go for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to use it for anything bad, are you?
Password. The password is one.
One.
Yeah. I'll just know what usually happens in these games, let's be honest. I'll just leave the password stuck over here on the post-it.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, yeah.
Exactly.
I can't tell you the password, but it's something to do with the birthday.
Or it's on an or it's on an email. It's on an email.
It's your mom's birthday, and there's a calendar next to the...
It's feast or famine, man. It's either deliver 10,000 iron to this planet, and we're not going to tell you anything about how to do it, or hack into this person's computer, here's your password, and it doesn't matter if the guards see you or not. Like, what? Yeah, can we have something in the middle of the road that's a little challenging?
Yeah. I like the idea that some planets are just stupid as fuck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Can we just say, by the way, while we mentioned Fallout, are you too excited for the Fallout TV
I am.
Show
I keep talking
week?
The Duchess, like, we got to watch this, man.
It looks interesting. It does.
It looks like it's taken right.
Tara and I about 4 months just to watch 3 seasons of a show. So like,
okay,
no,
yeah, it might not be happening.
Yeah,
just everything takes ages these days.
We're gonna have to watch it in 1 month though, because we're, you know, I don't want to give Amazon more money than I have to. So
well, I was just thinking that I was thinking it's on Amazon, isn't it? And can I just say, right? They've added, obviously, adverts in now. So there's adverts on TV shows.
Excellent.
Which I don't mind, right? Even if they gave me 3 minutes of adverts at the beginning of the movie or the beginning of the show, I'm kind of fine with that. And I'll go and make a brew or whatever before we start watching it.
Have a waz.
I'll go and have a waz, whatever, right?
In your brew.
We were watching a horror movie and it got to a really tense bit and it stopped
and now,
for adverts.
Try these diapers.
And I was like, what?
That's so bogus.
I don't even mind in a TV show, but a fucking movie.
Yeah.
An advert in the middle of a movie.
Or at
I'm
the
like,
very
what?
Least, like when they get to the safe room and they're like, okay, we'll be safe in here for a while. Then you can go to commercial.
It was in a really tense bit. You know, someone was being stalked down the corridor and then it just suddenly went off and I'm like,
have you got problems with your erections?
Oh my god! I was just like,
do you suffer from knife in the back syndrome?
It was about 2.5 minutes of adverts as well. It wasn't just like one quick advert. It was about 2 minutes or something. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yes, it is, no doubt.
Yeah, just give me at the beginning. Give me 3 minutes, 4 minutes of adverts at the beginning. Fucking middle of it. So anyway, Chinny. That being said, it is time for Drown Rock. Wow, that was a good one.
That's going to be the new jingle.
I'm liking it. Yeah. You sound like a 40-a-day smoker.
Does it all
going there? Does he smoke woodbines?
Does it?
What
we playing, Stu?
Yeah, we played from chapter 5
Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
Chapter 10.
Well,
beginning.
We played up to the start of 10 because I texted you and said, this seems like a good place to stop.
It did seem like a good place to stop. Just
so Uncharted 3, we start off in France.
We do. We go into the chateau. I was hoping for wine, but there wasn't any. Yeah. There was no wine.
Yeah,
I was a bit disappointed. And Sully, we just keep getting reminded how old he is, don't we? It's like, oh, I can't fly around there. What the fuck are you doing? Oh, so old now. I do feel like Sully should take a step back, if I'm being honest, having played this game, you know, keep playing it. It's like,
enjoy your golden years, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, at some point, and I think it is in this game where this happens, where you think he gets killed, don't you? Is it in this game that happens?
I can't remember.
Later in the game.
Isn't he gets killed in every fucking game.
Yeah, it's like...
he gets killed in the first game.
He's got the reflexes of an elephant, hasn't he? You know what I mean?
I mean he gets killed in the first game.
Yeah.
He gets shot. He gets shot at the start of this game.
Yeah, he does.
Obviously, there'll be a. I don't know what happens in four because I haven't played four, but there'll be a scene where we'll be like, he's dead, and you're at his funeral, and I'll be waiting for him to jump out the fucking casket.
I know, yeah. He's
Doug Judy, like he's in the back dancing to the song you're singing.
Yeah,
Doug Judy.
What I wrote on my notes is, it's just a couple of guys, isn't they? Just a couple of guys,
they're
Nate.
Just sticking about. They're just sticking about.
A laugh. And this is definitely the era of gamers just love climbing shit.
There's a lot of climbing in this game.
Every game in this, like this span, you know, Assassin's Creed and what was that? PlayStation 1.
The one with the lightning. Lightning in your fingers.
The lightning man.
Oh, I can't remember what that was.
Let's just call it Infamous.
Infamous, there you go.
They're just climbing everywhere, aren't they? Everybody loves climbing.
Yeah.
Big towers. Assassin's Creed is what started that off, let's be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I do sort of groan every time I get to a puzzle these days.
There's quite a few of them in this section of the game.
I figure something out. I'm just like, oh, God.
And it's usually like, you know, the one that you've got to do is like you've got to turn a knight to the shield facing the axe. And I'm like, no one figured this out before me. No one. Like, are you joking?
Well, that's like when you're in Fallout or Starfield and you're going through some abandoned mineshaft. And it's like, here's 20 credits and bullets. Like, really? End of the world? Nobody thought to look in here to get some bullets and money? Yeah.
Can we just say, though, they didn't have Drake's journal. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oi.
It was just an enormous bang.
Oh.
I have no idea. It was an enormous bang. It was such a big bang, it made my chair vibrate.
It spawned a new universe.
Hell?
Is that an earthquake?
I have no idea.
There have been a lot of those around lately.
That was very odd.
Can I just investigate?
Let's do the British thing. Carry on.
Let's just ignore it and carry on.
Keep going.
Chapter six, where you're in France, kind of like a boring chapter, I think. You go to the chateau.
Until the end of the chapter.
What's the end there? I forgot.
They set it on fire, don't they? You've got to escape from the burning chateau and castle.
You go to
the chateau. You're trying to find half of a medallion and like a knight. Is it a knight at the round table? I can't remember.
I feel like it's meant to be a knight at the round table. Isn't it Lawrence of Arabia stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. It's some knight. but you've got to find his tomb.
Drake is involved. Lawrence of Arabia.
Araba the rabbi.
There's a lot of Sully going, oh, what if you do this? I'm like, fuck off, man. You're doing a puzzle.
Yeah,
and you're like, what if you move that there? And you're like, I know what I'm doing. Like, so just give me a chance.
There might be a secret passage down here. What about here?
Maybe those symbols line up. Stop it, man. It is like having an old bloke.
He's kind of your hint system, though, isn't he? That's what he's there for.
I know he's there for
hints.
That.
That's not hints.
And like in God of War, like the boy always did that. He's like, what if you just figure it out, you stupid prick? And that really got on my tits. I don't know, I thought it was fine. I didn't mind
these chapters, to be fair, the ones in the chateau, and I thought it was all right. You know, you get to the night, you find the half a medallion, then obviously whatever
spiders.
Spiders, they're funny looking spiders, can I just say.
And do you reckon this is where Plague's Tale got their idea for the rats? Because it's pretty much the same concept, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it is.
You got to use light to, like, fuck the
spiders. And don't get overrun by the spiders.
And there was a bit where I couldn't get away from the spiders and I was just, like, stuck. And I had to, like, reload the thing because I kept trying to, is
there a sprint button or does he just
automatically?
No, I didn't think there was. I was like, I'm sure there must be a sprint button because I'm not going fast enough to get away. But then it gave me a button prompt and if I pressed circle, he would bat them off.
Oh, no, that never happened to me.
Yeah, it doesn't give it. I died twice and then the next time.
Oh, did it do because you crap at games?
Yeah, it did when. No, but. Dude. But it doesn't give you any indication that you can bat them off until the button.
Well, no, I think it. If you die twice, maybe it does that.
Maybe he just went, yeah, press circle to bat them away. And I'm like, oh, why didn't you tell me that earlier, you twat?
You're not crap at games, though.
And let's be honest, right? If you were Nathan Drake in real life, you'd automatically be batting them away.
Can I say what the formula for every Uncharted game is, right?
Yeah.
You go into a place.
Yeah.
Drake finds a thing.
Yeah.
The bad guy turns up at the end and goes, give me that thing.
Yeah, that
and
is
then
kind
you
of
have to
happens.
Run out.
Yeah, that's totally
that's
true.
That's every fucking Uncharted game.
Yeah, it is.
All the time.
Yeah, it is.
Because that happens in this. The burning building...
Well, it happens several times, to be fair, chapters we've played.
The burning building is really good. I did like the burning building. It's
yeah,
very
that's it. That's a really
clever.
Cool section of the game.
Yeah, and it's a really clever bit because it's so, like, chaotic.
Cinematic as well.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And you think, like, it's hard to sort of navigate your way around, but you always sort of find your way out.
Yeah, you do.
But it's really well done. I really like the burning house bit.
It some of it was a bit reminiscent of the climbing up the train as well, because there's bits where the banister falls off.
Yeah,
and you've got to climb up the banister, and
yeah,
bits break away while you're trying to climb up them. And I kind of like this bit. I must admit, I did enjoy it.
So the idea is that you and Sully are getting this one half of this medallion or whatever, and then the other two characters, the one who loves to chag about, Chloe,
yeah, Chloe,
whatever, and Jason Statham are off getting the other half in Syria. That's the idea, isn't it? That you split up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're looking in Syria. You're in Chateau in France.
At the end, so you've got the piece, because I think you get it back. I can't remember. No, you draw it, don't you, on the thing, and the bad guy has it. But you've drawn it on your book, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah. You've done a pencil rubbing of it.
So Nathan's like, it doesn't really matter that he's got it, because I've got a rubbing. And,
he loves
bloody rubbing on his journal, doesn't he?
I'll tell you what, he's like, he knows.
Nathan, what are you rubbing down there? Yeah, exactly. And then,
don't worry about it.
What's kind of funny, this is what I thought was kind of funny. So you finally escape the burning building, don't you?
Yeah, you get it.
And then he's like, and then he has a moment of revelation where he goes, oh my God, if they followed us, they must have followed Chloe as well and Jason Statham.
And the other guy, they don't even remember his name.
Charlie, he's called, can I say it? I've actually noted this down. He's
Charlie.
Called Charlie Cutter.
Charlie Cutter.
I mean, that's, if there wasn't a more Cockney name. Charlie fucking Cutter. And then I like
what I liked about this. I know what you're going to say.
They're in a chateau in France, right? And then a little subtitle comes up, the following day.
Yeah,
they're in
20
Syria.
Hours later. Yeah, they're in Syria.
They're in Syria. They've got to Syria within a day.
You know what I did? You know what I did as soon as that happened? All right. I went on Google Maps. All right.
Yeah.
And I went, how long does it take
to get to Syria?
The eastern part, not Paris, eastern part, the border of France.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're very close to the border, which they're probably not. The eastern part of France to Syria. Do you know how long that takes by car?
A long time, I'm guessing.
It takes 44 hours.
But did they fly, though? Did they fly there?
No, because they're in the same car.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about the car.
They're in the car.
And I'm like, there's no way they've got to Syria in a day. What the hell is going on? These guys are like time travelers. I don't know what... They've got a portal gun. What the hell?
That means they must have sped over five times as much, right?
Yeah,
so they must have gone about, I don't know, 400 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And never stopped.
Never stopped.
Just never stopped.
Never
just
had a wee,
stop.
Didn't have a shit.
Didn't have
you
a shit.
Didn't have any food, didn't have anything. Man, you could have drunk and eaten while
Nathan,
we were driving.
Nathan, just shit out the window. We haven't got time.
Just pissing the bottle. What's the matter with you?
And you know, the weird thing is that there's no reason for them to lie about the time. There's like,
well, they didn't even have to put anything. They could have just like, they're in Syria. We're in Syria now.
They could have just said 3 days later, which
is
like a more realistic thing.
Yeah, it's just the weirdest thing. I was like, as soon as I read it, I'm like, what?
20 hours later? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
No, because I think they put, I'm not sure, but I think they put 20 hours specifically.
Was
not,
it 20
not the
hours?
Next day.
I thought it was sort of like the following day or whatever.
That's what set me off, because I was like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
20 hours?
I was
how
just
far
like,
is Syria
what,
from...
the left?
I think it's funny that we both picked up on
it's so
that.
Stupid.
Because I was just like, what the hell is going on?
I wrote down here, there's a lot of Sully going, I'll wait down here. You do.
You do with the stuff, and I'll just wait here.
You do.
But he's old. We've here, just
so
pointed out he's an old guy.
I'll run away, and that way they won't catch
well,
both
I'm, of us. I'm 38 now, and my knees are already going, so I don't know how Nathan feels.
Can we just say, anyway, Syria, can I just say,
let's get serious about Syria.
When you get to the museum, stroke, castle, whatever the hell, fort, whatever the hell that is, it looks amazing.
It does look very good.
It fucking looks brilliant. The moonlight, the shadows, everything just looks frigging. It reminded me, right, years and years and years ago, we went to Rhodes on holiday.
Oh, yeah.
And in Rhodes Old Town, there's a castle of St. John or something like that.
Yeah,
it was made by the sort of crusading knights or something when they were doing all that stuff, and it reminded me so much of that. When we arrived, we arrived at some god stupid hour in the morning because it was a cheap flight, and we got there about 4 o'clock in the morning. And they have all like light sconces on all the walls of the. It's like a walled city, like York, but it's all fairly intact, to be fair. And they have light sconces all the way along, and this just reminded me of that.
Like
quite atmospheric, really cool looking place.
Looks good.
Yeah, really like this section of the game, by the way.
I ran into a trope. Yeah, I love this section, but I ran into one of these tropes in the, you know, in a video game where you're on a ledge and you pull somebody off the ledge and they die.
Oh, yeah.
But I was only like 5 foot high.
Oh, and he still died.
And he's like,
Yeah.
I love that.
But it does feel like a museum as well, by the way. It does feel like a tourist attraction somewhere you go and look around. And I like that about it as well.
Because this is the section, you do bump into Jason Statham and
Yeah,
and
you come
Chloe.
Across Chloe and Jason
and,
again.
And there was a section where all three of them were just battering one guy.
Yeah.
They were just like battering him.
He's
like,
a horrible guy, like, dude. What do you want him to do?
There wasn't shooting him or anything. They were like just fucking kicking him in. And I was like, oh, right, okay. I don't have to do anything. And they killed him. Now. I had a funny bit where there's a section on this level where you're remember that game Dark Void, Stu? Remember that game?
I do.
Where you're sort of on the surface of a wall and you're shooting upwards, right?
Yes, there is where you're climbing.
I have no idea how Drake reloads with one hand, but never mind.
It's because he's fucking amazing.
Right. So you're shooting upwards and these guys just kept on walking to the same position at the top of the tower, getting shot and then falling off. Right, so there must have been a guy behind that guy going, oh, that looks like a good idea, I'll do that. And then looks over and then dies and falls off again.
Can I ask a question, though? Why, right, here's a good question. Why the 50%, at least 50% of the baddies look like Mr. Smith?
They all look like, yeah.
Also have sunglasses on at night.
Yeah.
Why have they got sunglasses on while they shoot? How can they see to even shoot at you?
Sunglasses at night.
I think that's a good tune. Good tune, that, by the way.
In the staff room for these henchmen, they all go, oh, wow, these sunglasses look so cool. I'm not taking these off.
But why are you doing suits, though? I mean, it's the most impractical thing to be doing combat in.
You got to take care of the bad guys.
And they've got a tie. I mean, it's like these guys are more worried about how fashionable they look rather than shooting at you.
They're all part-time henchmen, part-time snooker referees. All of them.
That's what they love. It's just, when you think about it, it's a really weird choice of design for baddies. It's almost like, well, the London gangsters, so they should have suits on, I reckon. Let's put them all in black suits and red ties. I don't know. It's just
there is a weird
I think
the start of this mission, I've come across somebody, and the voice actor of one of the henchmen is like, who's that? And it was so bad. They got like the cleaner to do it in Naughty Dog. I was just like, can you do a London accent?
Yeah. You just do a line.
Who's that? Really bad. There was a moment in this chapter, though, that I hated, Stu.
Okay.
Hated. When they're sort of looking to
Can
to,
I just say, just a minute. I'm just looking at this section of the game, and I didn't notice this until now. They've got the torches, though, or the flashlights, if you're an American, attached to the shoulders on a suit. What the hell are they attached to?
It's the new suits.
What's it? Is it Velcro?
Have you not seen the new suits with the Velcro on the side? It's all the rage, Stu.
I don't know. It's just when you look at some of this stuff.
These days.
Look, this dude here, he's got sunglasses on. He's got sunglasses on in the dark. It's just mental. It's like, what is going on?
Stu, but they look cool. That's what matters.
Now, maybe. But if you were designing this game and someone's like, oh, there's this nighttime scene where they're in this like really dark
castle.
Put them in sunglasses. Surely someone in the design team should have gone, I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, but that's when...
It's nighttime. Do you think they'll be wearing sunglasses at night?
That's when Neil Druckmann, Duke's mate, went, no, put them in fucking sunglasses now.
Sunglasses.
No.
But it does beg a belief. You just watch it. I'm just like,
you know what? But I never noticed when I was playing the game, though.
No, well, I did. I notice it now.
Yeah, I notice it now. But I never noticed when I played. I just went, wow, I'm in the Matrix.
And also, right, here's another question, right? How many London gangsters are there?
There's loads.
Because I've killed hundreds so far. It's like, where do these guys keep coming from? It must have like an army of London gangsters in suits.
Shoot, times are tough. It's a cost of living crisis, and you get whatever work you can.
You must do.
Some of these guys were stacking shells in Aldi last week, and now they're in.
I think it's interesting how individually dressed you all are, but everyone else is in generic
suit. You know, it's.
Even the baddie bad guy is in a suit.
Oh, right. They all look the same. Right.
But why in a suit, though?
In a suit with sunglasses?
I'll tell you why. It's because they had a bulk order on suits and they needed to get rid of them, and they're all sponsored, so that's why they're going to wear the Ray-Bans, okay? There's a bit in this chapter, for fuck's sake, Stu, that I did not like.
Okay.
The main bad guy, let's just call him Bad Guy Man.
John Carter. Isn't he something Carter?
Let's just call him...
I don't know.
It's some generic thing. Yeah, John the fucking twat, right?
Baptist.
So he... Like, you're looking to solve this, like, puzzle on a wall, and he just pops up round the corner.
Oh, yeah, right? That's right.
And he accosts Jason Statham.
No, he doesn't. He shoots him with a dart.
Well, he shoots him with a dart. It goes up to, and this dart sort of sends him, like, loses his ability to, like
a Jedi.
Yeah, he doesn't have any free will anymore, and he's like, hand me the thing, and he's like,
I will have you living.
He's trying to fight against it, and he's like, ugh. And so this was his plan, was to wait for Jason Statham to be separated
on his own.
By the way, they're not miles away, they're literally around the corner.
They're just... Right.
And then he's like, give me that. And then he's got him. And then they all see him. And then Jason Statham is like, oh, I'm fucked up. Oh. And the bad guy gets away. By the way, disappears in like thin air. Because there's no pathway.
Backwards. He walks backwards.
There's no pathway. They look around the corner. It's just a wall, right? So what is going on there? And then you go down this sort of cave with... trippy Jason Statham.
You have
a full-on brawl
fight with him,
and then
Sully's about to shoot him in the face. Yeah, Chloe
goes, "Oh, it's Nathan. Don't!" And he's like, "Oh yeah," and then he's back to normal.
Yeah, yeah.
So stupid.
The drugs had worn off.
I know, but have you seen somebody have a hangover? Do you think somebody gets over that quick? I'm like, no, it was so weird.
What is this experimental drug he used, though? That's what I want to know.
But I just thought that was the weird... Like, if you want to give him a drug and he's, like, tripping out and all that sort of stuff, but for him to recover so quickly, for him to, like, get the medallion... Like, his plan was to get the medallion when, like, he's just 3 meters away from the rest of the crew. Like, so strange. It was.
And it was kind of funny as well, because as he's walking away, he's going, don't trust Nathan Drake.
Which is coming from a guy who just shot you in the fucking neck with a dart.
Don't trust Nathan.
It looks like... Jason Statham and Sully are not going to get on, doesn't it? Because he's like, you know, you go first.
Well, after he threatened to shoot. But let's be honest, right? He was about to kill Nathan Drake. So what choice did he have?
What's he going to do?
He's about to kill the hero of the game. He can't just let him get killed, can he?
So then, look, towards the end of this chapter, you sort of jump off a thing, don't you? And Charlie gets stuck on there. Because the rubble's gone away.
Oh, yeah,
because
it all collapses.
By the way, we
forgot to mention about him feigning that he's still under control as well. So he feigns still being under control of the drug and points his gun at Nathan, etc. And then Carter, or the fuck his name is going, just shoot him, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him.
Oh, yeah, that's it. He fakes it, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he feigns it. He pretends he's still under the influence, yeah, but he isn't really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
he shoots him.
I like that. That was good.
Yeah. That was
I liked that
cool.
bit. Yeah, yeah. Then he shoots him and he lives, doesn't he?
He does. He lives. He's got a bulletproof vest on, presumably.
John the bad guy. Is he sort of some sort of supernatural?
No, thing? No. I think he's just got a bulletproof vest on. I think.
Because he disappeared in thin air. And they say, like, where did he go? Where the fuck did he go?
Where did he go?
And, yeah, so maybe...
Oh, and then, oh, by the way, Helen Mirren turns up. We forgot
Helen
about
Mirren.
That.
So, no, I was just going to mention that. So Charlie's stuck on the thing. You've all jumped off. He's stuck on a tower.
Yeah.
But John the bad guy turns up. Helen Mirren turns up.
Yeah.
And goes, right, we're going to kill you. We're not going to shoot you, even though everyone.
Yeah, we've
has
all got
go.
Guns. We could just shoot you in the head, get it all
gonna,
over with, nice and quick.
Throw some petrol up. Good job, these two lads had petrol cans, because that would have looked stupid.
Yeah, where the hell did they get those right. from? Where did
on
the
top of a
petrol,
tower.
Man, don't ask questions.
Right, and then she lights a match and goes,
and
"Let's
drag
just burn
it around
him.
Just in case."
And like, I was thinking before he did it, I was like, "Just jump off, just give it a go." Like, what's
now's
the? And
the
he
time.
Does, and
go
he
for it.
He breaks his leg, and
yeah, he does.
And I'm just like, why did they try and burn it? Why didn't they just shoot the shit
shoot
out of
him in the head?
No.
I don't
so I think what annoys me is obviously I know why they didn't shoot him and they tried to burn him because they want the character to get away.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be
as soon
dead.
As soon as they start doing things that go, that just looks stupid. Like,
well, it's even like, to be fair, right? They're all trapped on a wooden ledge underneath the tower. They could have just picked them all off. They could have just shot them all.
Yeah, it's just when the story starts to when the characters start to do things that you don't
becomes
buy
a bit
into,
not believable.
Yeah, it's just not believable. There's a couple of instances of that.
You've got
so
to suspend
far.
Your disbelief.
And I
bit.
Think in Uncharted 2 and even in 1, I don't think there were many moments like that where I was.
No,
going,
I mean
oh,
there were,
I you know, that,
there were
that
fantastical was... moments where you were like, "Wow, that's impressive if he could do that in real life." But it kind of always made sense to an extent, you know.
Yeah,
you were never like, ooh.
It was kind of, you know, Austin Powers always like made fun of the Bond movies of like, okay, I'm going to leave you here and I'm going to tell you all my plans and I'm going to put you on this slow moving platform and hope that you die without me watching. And it's like, in the first two games, there wasn't a lot of that. And it does feel like there's a bit of that now.
But I think some of that's down to the fact they wanted to have all these like set pieces, because obviously the second game was so well regarded. They were like, how can we top that stuff? So they have to have all these action set pieces, you know, and all this crazy stuff going on. But I'm guessing at some point they weren't able to justify why they were happening. So it's kind of like, well, we'll just do this and it'll be fine. No one will notice.
By the way, I don't remember a fucking single thing about this game other than one scene that was not played.
I remember some of it. I remember
the bit where you come out of a plane, which we haven't done yet.
No, we haven't done that yet.
I remember the start where you're in a pub, right? I remember that. Yeah. I don't fucking remember anything else about this game. Anything.
No.
It's just all a blur. And... yeah, I mean, it's good. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I don't really remember any of it.
But the big
two had a lot
though,
more.
Does it hold up?
But we haven't finished yet. There's still a little bit more to talk about. So, you escape from the Syrian castle eventually with the other half of the medallion.
Yep.
So you have the other half of the medallion and you put them together and you know what, because you do this big puzzle with light and stuff where you've got to move all this and get all this water to move and light all these lanterns up and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then you realize you've got to go to Yemen. So like Chandler Bing from Friends, you've got to go to Yemen.
And who's in Yemen?
Elena. Elena Fisher. Elena. Now, can I just say, you get to Yemen and she gives you press passes so that you can obviously get around.
Yeah.
And I've got to say this, man. It looks like she's had some really bad plastic surgery.
I don't know what's going on with her face.
I'm like,
maybe she has.
Has she been to see some doctor in LA or something? You know, and that's some really bad work done.
Maybe she has.
And it's not great. Her face looks just fucking weird.
Yeah, it does. I did notice, actually. Yeah, it does look weird this time.
In the first game, she was quite pretty and natural looking, right? Yeah. In the second game, she looked a little bit...
Maybe...
This game, I don't know what's going on because Chloe looks the same. It's like they've fucking gone, let's make
maybe
really,
maybe
really
there's
really
a sub story where she's just addicted to cosmetic surgery.
I don't know.
That we don't
just
know about.
Her eyes look all wonky and stuff. Yeah, yeah. But like, what's just going on with her? What's happened to her character model?
What I liked about, because you arrive in Yemen and you go to hug Elena and she says, oh, you can't hug me here. But men, because it's not appropriate to show affection in Arabic countries towards women, in public.
Yeah,
but and I know that this is true because
Dubai, but the
bit where she says, but men can hold hands, and Marsh told me that when he went to Iraq because he was in the RAF. Men were holding hands all the time. He says, men just kept on holding hands all the time, but you could never hold a hand of a woman or anything like that. Mm. And I was like, really? It's like, it's sort of bizarre. I never heard of it before when he told me, like, that was probably about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, actually. And then I really liked the bit when Nathan and Sully go to hold hands, or Nathan holds Sully's hand.
Yeah, and he's like,
I really like that.
That
feels like that's why this game is great, because that feels like Nolan North made that up on the spot. And they put it in and they left it in. And it's the first sort of inkling of like, the actors would probably come up with that. I mean, I don't know for sure, but
but let's be honest, these guys lived these characters for so many years, didn't they? And they built up this camaraderie between themselves, and it's very good. I mean, you cannot fault the acting in the game. You know, the acting's just great.
So I think it sort of implied that Nathan and Elena got married and then broke up.
Yeah, she's still wearing the wedding ring though.
Yeah,
she's
but they broke up. Ring. We don't really know why.
Yeah, they did.
And the theme of the
game. Because he was shagging Chloe. We know why he broke up. Come on.
No, but he was shagging Chloe before he was with Elena though. Because at the end of two, he's all lovey-dovey with. Anyway,
maybe he offered to do a threesome.
Yeah.
Maybe that happened. With Sully. She was like, I don't think so.
But the theme of the game seems to be like, Nathan, why are you doing this? Because that comes up a lot, doesn't it? It's like, why are you doing this?
It's not worth risking
it's not
your
worth
life
it.
For.
And it's and I know there's a Uncharted 4, and I know that
there is an Uncharted 4, which you've never played, have you?
I've never played. No, but like, but it does feel like the start of, why are you going to so much length to just prove something?
But a lot. She facilitates it. She enables him to do it.
No, but it's like, not just her though. Sully and Chloe.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, they all.
Everybody facilitates him. They all go, here's some press passes, and then you can get to where you need to go. Before that though,
like I'm sure there's a scene where they're like, why, like, what have you got to prove? Like, Sully's like, I'm still with you. He's kind of in because he's like, well, I've always stuck with you, so why not, you know? But he's not really buying into it either. So it does start to have I like the theme of like, why are you fucking bothering? Like, what are you doing? Like, you've got money. You've got a little bank account. What are you doing? So we're on chapter 10.
Chapter 10. We are. I'm liking it. And does it hold up? Definitely for me so far. I've forgotten how much fun this game was because we all remember two, and I think that's the thing. We all remember two, but you kind of forgot about this one. But it's a quality game. These games are quality.
But the big standout moment that was marketed in Uncharted 3 was when you fall out of that plane. Wasn't it? That is like the.
But then we had a plane. Was it in two where we have a plane moment as well? Is it in two where you end up with the plane stuck in a tree? There's a tree. It's stuck in a tree on an island, isn't it? The plane.
Is that one or two? I think that's.
I think it might be two. Is it one?
That's one. That was
is that one.
One.
Yeah, that's because that's kind of.
No,
cool
this is
as well.
No. The standout moment that they used in all the marketing was you fall out of the back of a plane and you're hanging on to cargo.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah,
I do remember.
And that is so iconic that they actually use that in the movie with Tom Holland. That's in the movie.
See, I've never seen the movie. Never seen
it.
Well,
we're going to watch the movie, Stu.
Oh, we're going to do this.
We're going to watch the movie.
Because I've never seen the movie.
No, we're going to watch the movie. I've got a whole plan, Stu. We're going to watch the movie together.
It's going to happen,
Stu. I like it.
We're going to watch the movie together.
I like that.
So yeah, we'll do that. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to that bit. I remember that bit. That's the only really big thing I remember. But so far, yes. Okay, let's move on, shall we, Stu?
Okay, let's move on. We've talked about it enough. We've got one more thing to talk about, I believe, which is Crime Scene Cleaner Prologue.
Full confession, I downloaded it. I didn't have time to play it, but what I'll say is I saw the video on Steam, and I'm really, really sad that I didn't get time to play it because it looks fucking brilliant.
So for those who don't know, Power Wash Simulator is a game where you get hired to clean up playgrounds and lots of other things that are dirty. This game is Power Wash Simulator, but it's a crime scene and there's bodies everywhere and there's a dude tortured in the basement and you have to go remove the body and clean up the blood. It's very well made too.
Can I just say it's got some humor as well. There's some humor in it because I cleaned all the pool area. Did all that, sorted all that shit out, went upstairs, and there's a woman spread-eagled hanging over the balcony, right? Opened the door, she fell off, and then made a whole shitload more mess around the pool area. And I'm like, for God's sake, I've just cleaned all that.
That's funny.
I've cleaned it all.
It's good.
And he's like, what she doesn't fall? Oh, bollocks.
Yeah, right. As soon as... Yeah, when you move, you fill a tub with water, you put detergent in it, you use it to scrub up, and then when you move the tub, like, there's blood where you moved it, and it's like, okay, I'm going to clean that up too.
And you've also got to be careful with a mop, because if you don't rinse it out enough, then you just start spreading blood everywhere again. I'm like, oh my God! Yeah,
right.
It's great. Very simplistic.
It's really done. It's it scratches exactly the same itch as and I was a little nervous at first because scooping up a bunch of trash, you have to hold. I don't know about it as on the keyboard, but or on the controller, but on the mouse and keyboard, you have to like click and drag through each of the pieces you're cleaning up. Whereas House Flipper, it just automatically cleans up more than one piece.
Well, to be fair, I was going to say there's some House Flipper in here as well because you've got to clear up all the rubbish as well and then put all the furniture back to where it was originally. Right. And
but it's
there's
good
a lot
because
of it. You've got to get rid of the
to where the furniture was, and then it basically it goes from red to
clicks it in
and you've got to get rid of the CCTV footage as well. So there's more to it.
The thing that bugs me was I was doing this last night, and then it was like time to eat dinner, and so I had to leave. But there's no saving in the prologue, so I got about halfway through.
I didn't realize
bloody
that
house scene, and I had to just start. You know, if I was gonna play it again, I start over. But I'm like, I'll get it when it comes out. And like,
that's a great thing about Steam Deck because it just suspend your game where you are and you can
we're not talking about Steam Deck.
I didn't know you had Steam Deck.
I was totally sold on this on the video. I was like, this looks great. You're basically that character from Pulp Fiction that has to clean.
Yeah, you are. That's exactly what I thought of as soon as I started playing.
So good. But it's like, it's all themed around like there's a crime scene. You're not, like, for people, I thought you were like the police. You know what I mean? And then I watched the video. I was like, you're like part of, you're the underground.
You're the underworld. You're the underworld, man. You're getting rid of shit.
This unfortunately, the release date better. Is 2024. It doesn't say when 2024, but it's just but there is a thing on Steam that says ask to be in the playtest. And so I clicked on let me be in the playtest. So we'll see. This is crazy. Yeah. Steam says this game is similar to games you've played. Fallout 4 and GTA 5. No, it's really not GTA like those games.
It is like GTA 5. It is like GTA 5.
Quick question. Will there be multiplayer? Can you be a team of cleaners going into
that? I don't see why not. I mean, if they have that in Power Wash Simulator, you know, we famously
I'd love to be a team of players.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, you can get rid of dead bodies. And I was like, yes, this is
the dead bodies. What's quite interesting, when you pick up a dead body, it tells you how they were killed.
Oh,
so you pick a dead, it's like shot multiple times in the back or whatever, or stabbed in the face or whatever it is.
I wish the game went further and you have to drive them, you have to mulch the bodies up. And
well, you may do. Well, I didn't finish it.
The wood chipper.
Maybe you do because you put them in your van to get rid of them in body bags. So it doesn't tell. I've not got as far as driving away, so you have to then go and dispose.
I don't think they bother. I mean, they made a little home where your home base is, and then they made the crime scene. I can't imagine they made other.
Is there a timer on the level? Because that would spoil.
Not on this one. But in the video promo, it does say, like, you know, they have a scenario where they're showing like you, the cops are going to be here any minute now. So don't take more than 10 okay. minutes or whatever. So I think right. some levels will have that, but this, the demo right. doesn't. And I hope that there's not, because I was going to say just real quick, the other game I played this week is Enshrouded. The only thing I have to say about it is I realize how frustrating it is to have the timer in Enshrouded, because you can only spend 6 minutes in the shroud. That's so stressful to me. And I think it's partially because my job is like every second I'm like, the bell's going to ring soon. The bell's going to ring soon. So it's very, I hope that timer thing isn't a big part of crime scene cleaner.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. The only thing I would say is I cleaned all of the pool area. There was no blood anywhere I could see, but it still only said 88% done. So I'm like, I have no idea where the
well,
rest
of
it
is. I'll be calling
you,
I don't know if
you, up
thing.
When I murder
you
someone.
You suck at video shit. Games. But yeah, there is a thing where it'll, you can push a button. It's queued by default on the keyboard. I don't know about the controller, but it'll show you where it is. And it's also like sometimes underneath stuff. So like you have to move stuff around and like there's a big area.
I couldn't see anymore.
Pool,
I did look everywhere, but I couldn't find anymore. So I don't know. But other than that, I thought it was really, really good. I liked it. Yeah. I like the way you have to, I do like it, although I'm not 100% sold on it. The fact that you have to keep on recharging the power washer and all that kind of stuff while you're doing it.
Yeah.
But it was fine. It wasn't that big a deal.
It breaks it up a little bit and it makes it more realistic, I suppose. But yeah, I was using the bucket and the mop and it was. Yeah,
and I liked that again. And the humor with the video game. Look, you get killed if you play video games, and sat there in the middle of a game, shot in the face.
Yep.
I thought it was really good. I really liked this, Duke. Good recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was impressed.
What?
Very impressed.
Thumbs up, baby.
It looks good. Looks good, by the way.
I'll give it a go for next week.
Thumbs up. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I'll give it a go next week.
I will be amazed if Chinny doesn't give this a thumbs up.
What's our play my game bitch for next week?
There is something new out, actually.
There's a few games on Xbox.
Yeah, there's a few games. There is Super Hot Mind.
That looks really good.
Yeah. Super Hot Mind Control Delete has been added this week.
I've played that.
It's just new Super Hot game.
Is that a new Super Hot game?
Well, newish. Well, it's newish. It came out after
the Ark is a new game.
And there is an EA Sports PGA Tour game, a golf game. We haven't played one of those in a long time.
An Annapurna game called Open Roads. That looks like Stu's bag.
Yeah, that was the one I mentioned last week. Open Roads. We could try that.
There's also a little Gator game, which I played the demo of, which was pretty fun.
Well, what are we going to do? Here we go. Open Roads or golf? What is it going to be?
Well, I've got golf.
Yeah, let's play golf.
Let's play golf.
Let's see the new golf game.
Yeah.
Masters,
by the way,
the
Ark game is the new one, isn't it? It's Survival Ascended, so it's a brand new Ark survival game.
Oh, yeah, well, I've heard it's got very bad reviews on Steam, but I don't know why.
I've never played one, and I'm not particularly bothered about it, so...
Yep.
There you go. Right, is it time for some emails and stuff?
I think it's time for some emails.
That ruled.
Okay, the one and only. So one and only email, people, just saying. The one and only email we have this week is from Jason.
Oh, Jason.
And he says this, a long cosmic noise. Cosmic noise. The moon blocks the sun for 4 minutes and every space tourist decides to come to Texas, which has a forecast of full cloud cover. By the way, can we just say, I don't know whether you're aware of this, Duke, but they've declared a state of emergency at Niagara Falls. Did you know this?
Yeah, I saw that because they don't want people accidentally wandering over the edge when they're staring up.
Well,
the
there's
sky.
That, but they're also expecting 1 million people to be there on the day of the eclipse, which is, can we just say, to get 40 million people a year visiting. So it's kind of a whole month's worth of people in one day.
Sure. Absolutely.
Or just under that, just under a whole month's worth in one day, they're expecting. Yeah. So it's a lot of fucking people.
A lot of people are coming.
But Texas, which has a forecast of full cloud cover, tornadoes, and hailstones.
Oh.
Fucking twats. I don't think he wants these people coming. Just saying.
Yes, not.
We all know this event is either the rapture or melancholia. So they are coming to the Holy Land. So, Duke, what do you get? Do you get about sort of 3/4 of the eclipse or just over that?
I don't think
we're
going to see much of it at all. I don't know.
No, no, I think you get nearly a full one. It's just not okay. quite full. I think you get. I had a look at Wisconsin, and I think it's nearly a full one.
I'm not really.
So you'll be close, close to full, but not quite totality. Yeah. It's a big deal. We have the first human telekinesis. I guess it didn't make your news because the cyberhuman only played chess, Civilization, and Mario Kart with his mind as the controller. If it were a car soccer, you would have mentioned it. It's probably true. If it had been Rocket League you were playing, it would have definitely
Yeah, Rocket League. Now you got my attention.
Duke, yes. In an ontologically correct metaphysical description of cryptic biblical metaphor, Christ okay. almighty, with Ken Levine's games, could you announce the meaning behind Rapture, a living, breathing world underwater? Judas, not the betrayer of Christ, but the avatar in space that destroys all humans, and what Ken describes as the magnificent of great three, a family of AI robots, the Trinity. Or did you not watch the Judas preview? No, I didn't watch it. I don't know about you. I
didn't watch it.
No.
I mean, for me, Rapture is about megalomania and a desire to not pay taxes. It's Ayn Rand gone amok. So that's my take on the ontological concept of Rapture. I don't know if that's what he's looking for, but that's my take on
God knows. I do think, right, Ken Levine takes himself a bit too seriously.
If you're going to be an artiste, you got to take yourself a certain amount of seriously.
I guess. Right. But, you know, it's a video game. It's a bloody video game at the end of the day. True. He's going to shoot people in the face. Who knows? Yep. Hey, Bob. Epic Games are monetizing gamer creations in Fortnite with their new Lego content. Sure. Lego and the player will split the profits. Players get paid to create worlds. Imagine that. All of your simulation theorists, why would you need to create worlds? Sam Altman, the AI guy, says movies are going to become video games and video games are going to become something unimaginably better.
Maybe.
God, this is like, I don't know what the hell I'm reading here. It's like I've gone into some metaphysical email nightmare.
We should start calling these things Gullahers because they're not even just tangents. Like they're loosely connected, meandering, curvy trains of thought.
Yeah. No shit, Sherlock. Go back to ending this world. Stew Pan. The moon landing was real. Stanley Kubrick filmed it in during total eclipse. It was too dark to see. At that very moment, nobody could poo. Could they physically not poo, or just could they not see to wipe because the whole world shut down? Okay. Maybe they pooed earlier in effort not to miss the experience. I don't know. But people to this day swear they couldn't go number two during the moon landing.
At some point, he had to go number two.
God, Lord. It's the end of the world as we know it. Sing it, Chitty, whilst going number two, and I feel fine. I don't know what to say anymore.
That's great. It starts as an earthquake.
It's the end of the world as we know it. There you go. Right. In that case, I think we have got... Wowzers. One speak pie from our bestest friend.
Speak pie!
It's the way to leave a message.
Warning!
I was going to say, let's hope it makes more sense than the Jason Gullah email. Let's hope. Who knows?
Here we go.
Right, here we go.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, Better Gamers, it's St. Diesel back again. I played that little clip for two reasons. Next week, I'm going to give you a movie quiz. It's going to be based on the official soundtracks of movies, which I own on either CD or vinyl.
Okay.
I think I've got maybe 30 to 40 official soundtracks based mainly on trips to charity shops over the last 10 years or so.
Cool.
I'm not usually collective soundtracks, but if you see them cheap in a charity shop, I'll always think about picking them up. And all I'm going to do is give you the year the movie came out and some of the stars of the movie. All you need to do is guess the name, and simple as that. But the question I have to do with music is, on YouTube, I think it's still a bit confusing about their policy because You talk often about not playing music clips on your podcast because you might get taken down by YouTube. Mm. But when I look at YouTube, there doesn't seem to be any real restriction on that because there's multiple albums on there, radio shows, live concerts, stuff that's been on there for years that haven't been taken down. So I just wonder, do you really know the music policy of YouTube, or is it just a case of making sure that you're safe and don't get taken down? I'm not really sure on that. But we'll finish with a bit more from Mr. Williams.
Great Britain recognized the island state of Singapore. How do you recognize an island? Wait. Didn't we meet last year at the Feynman Bar Mitzvah? You look a lot like Hawaii.
Right.
Oh, just, Robin Williams, RIP.
Just to clarify, it's more about if you use somebody else's content. So it tends to be more if you use somebody else's like video they've created on your video. So it tends to be more like that. Am I right, Chinny? Rather than you can use some music, but what?
But also, there's different rules for everything. So like one thing might be like, oh, you'll just get like you can't monetize, which is
or
fine.
Or they'll get the money from it.
Or
if you got money.
You might get this can absolutely not be fucking shown on YouTube at all. You fucking piece of shit. Yeah. And it'll get blocked. Yeah. Or you'll get. You can show this in Europe, but you can't show this in America. Or you can show this in America, but you can't show this in Germany. Or, you know, something weird. So it's like, let's just play. If you keep the rule clear of let's just not do that, then it's easy and simple.
It's very, very gray. It's a very gray area.
A lot of it's like, it's gray to us because we're not lawyers who are parsing all the different legal jurisdictions and stuff. But the other thing is that it's, you know, a lot of it is covered, you know, monitored by robots. So if they can recognize, if they can't, you know, if you played music that I made, no robot's going to know that because it's not popular at all, right? The algorithms are tracking certain kinds of music that's more popular. So, you know, kill
it's
switch
all
click.
About money.
Yeah, Nintendo is the worst culprit. Nintendo
used to be. Used to be.
Yeah, it's not as anymore. Bad now, but it was terrible. It wasn't like that. Nothing.
So that's it. So it's just it's just simpler to say we won't play anything, and then
you're covering yourself if you don't
play
anything.
But you know, I'll say this about your question, Diesel. Like, I'm very glad that certain albums are on YouTube because, you know, when I made the switch over to digital stuff, I got rid of a lot of albums, and I wish I hadn't, because they were on Spotify when I made the switch, and then they got taken off. Like, 2/3 of my comedy library just vanished one day, and it sucks. So there are some that are on YouTube, so I can listen to them there, and maybe...
It is weird, right? Because there's a lot
of them, if I was dishonest.
There's loads of DJs who do mixes and put them on YouTube and don't seem to have any issues at all. I tried to upload a mix that I'd done when I first set up my account on there, as DJ No Clue, and it was instantly blocked. And I don't know how they get away with it, and it just wouldn't even let me upload it. It was just like, nah, not happening. So I don't know. It's very weird. Because like you say, there is all sorts of music on there, but I don't know why it wouldn't let me upload a mix. Made no sense whatsoever.
Mm. We don't know either, Diesel. That's the answer.
And Twitch doesn't let you upload any music. Like, I can stream live, I get a massive warning at the end telling me that I shouldn't have been playing copyrighted music and stuff.
Warning!
The video itself is almost completely blank, so there's no sound on most of the Twitch videos.
Yeah.
For the any of the mixes that I've done there. They're totally blank.
I don't know you!
Yeah, so I don't know. It's weird stuff. But I only do one a year now on Twitch, so I don't tend to get in trouble so much.
Yes. Okay, is there anything on Discord? Are we ready to do shout-outs and move on?
I have no idea. Let's have a look.
Let's have a look. Oh, there's got a shop on Discord.
Tell them.
Oh, there is. Here we go. Give us the questions. You've got that. And there is one.
There's one question
off Tainted Brain, and he says... Brain. Do any of you listen to music podcasts? I don't have a good enough data package on my phone to stream music. Sorry, Stu, can't be listening to Mixcloud while I'm out and about. So I've been listening to people's mixes that have been released as podcasts. Thanks all. So
no,
there you go.
No, No,
not me. I do. But I have. Sorry, hang on 1 second, Stu. I have been really getting into Taylor Swift this week. Like, I decided, you know what? I haven't listened to Beyonce very much. I haven't listened to Taylor Swift. I'm gonna make it my mission to actually listen to their albums.
Yeah.
And I picked. I started with Taylor Swift's Reputation album for some reason, and that's clearly the album that she made that's closest to me and my tastes because it's like a lot of electronic music and stuff, and it's like it's. Banging. It's a good album, man. I'm really into that. So sorry. Go ahead, Stu. You were going
to
say.
I used to listen to a couple. I used to listen to Glitterbox on the old podcast. And it's not really a podcast. It's literally a DJ mixing music for an hour. So I used to listen to Glitterbox quite a lot. But I am listening to one that I've only started listening to lately by Crossfader, which is called Off the Record. And it's three DJs basically just talking about DJ stuff, sort of how they got started, what they did, what equipment they use, you know what, and then they give like music recommendations and stuff. And they're quite funny guys. Are for old people. They're quite funny guys. So I've been listening to them recently. They're about an hour long, and they've always got something interesting to say because they've been in the industry for quite a long time. Like one of them has been DJing for over 20 years. And they just talk about stuff and you get questions off the forum, off like the Discord about like DJ stuff. Like one of these, this was the best one. Can I just say this was brilliant. But a listener wrote in that they'd hired a DJ to DJ their wedding, right?
Yeah.
And then they gave him a playlist or a list of songs they wanted including in it, like in the set on the night, you know, this is what I want you to play. Which is kind of normal. He was charging about £500 to do the DJing for the night. And then because they'd chosen music he didn't normally play, he then charged them extra for all the extra tracks that they wanted.
That's crazy.
And the question was, is that normal? Would that be correct? And they were like, absolutely not.
Hell no. Unusual music surcharge.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of an interesting thing that happened. And then there was another one last week, which was kind of cool as well, where a guy had been DJing like as a resident in a club, but they had locals and college students coming in. So they'd have college students and the locals would come in later. And he played some rap and stuff and some hip hop. And it one night it all kicked off and there was a massive fight. And the management blamed him for playing hip hop that incited
hip hop made me do it.
The patrons to fight each other. So he ended up getting the blame for it by the management. And he's like, again, should I just give up the residency? Should I just tell them to go screw themselves, etc.? So it's kind of like that. So there's all sorts of cool stuff.
Hey.
So yeah, off the record.
I only fight during salsa music.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It tends to be the sound of music for me, to be
Spanish
honest.
Spanish language rapper. Cypress Hill, you rapping in Spanish. All right, so that's it. We're ready to do some shout-outs then.
It's time for a shout-out. Hey!
I'm going to shout-out Chinny because he's back.
He's back
this week. He's back.
Chinny's back. And
I was just going to say Ben for covering last week. Well, you weren't here because you were up in Manchester. Manchester.
Yay, Ben.
So there you go. Chinny, over to you.
We have a new Patreon.
Woohoo!
Yay,
God, we haven't had one of those in a while.
Thank you, Patreon.
We have, actually.
We've had one.
Yeah, well,
give us some money! Have you updated the sheet? Have you put the new people on? Bet you didn't.
Don't look at that fucking sheet. Are you mad?
Yeah, exactly.
I've already moved on. So we've got a new Patreon. Since January, we've had... What about
75 Patreons?
Three people.
Oh.
That's quite impressive.
That was close.
So the new one is Lee Griggs.
Thanks, Lee.
Shout out to Lee Griggs. Thanks for being a loyal. He's a loyal tier. There's elite and loyal veteran gamers. And then Tid USD. I think, and Seth McNitt now qualify for their T-shirts, so they'll be getting a massage.
Eventually, can we just say a T-shirt eventually?
Can I just say that everybody has their T-shirts now? See, people message in when they don't have them, but they don't message in when they do have them, do they?
Did we have a lot of people messaging when they didn't have them? I think we had one or two messages.
Yeah, well, that's enough. No, but everybody's got their T-shirts now. So Ricey right. and Rainy Lamb were the last two that I sent out. They're very happy with them. So, yeah, Tids and Seth McNeil now qualify for a T-shirt. So I'll be messaging them. So shout out to them and shout out to Ben last week for helping out. Thank you.
Yay.
Okay, oh, Duke, over to you.
I will shout out the Snicker Man.
Here comes the Snicker Man.
Yeah, shut up, kid.
And also shout out everybody in the chat, Ian and Tainted Brain and James Bevan and Soul Brother Number One and Tyrone Price. And yeah, everybody who listens, wherever you are around the world, we appreciate you. And shout out to the Duchess because she's going to make some matzo ball soup tonight for dinner. And I really like matzo ball soup. And yeah, shout out to the baby goats that we got because they're very cute. And they're getting their horn nice. Buds. They got horns coming in now already. So watch out for that. They're going to be bumping each other in the heads.
Bump. Before we go, I have got a question for you two guys.
It's time for Egg Timer Topics.
It's not. No, it isn't. So I'm going to do, for the first time ever, I've never done one of these before, but I'm going to do a drum and bass mix.
Oh, yeah.
Drum and bass. So I wanted a suggestion off you two for a drum and bass track that I need to include
Omni
in the mix.
Omni Trio, Living for the Future. Or wait, is that the one? Living for the Future?
How the hell do you spell that?
Omnitrio. That's Omni Trio. And hang on a second. It's either track two or track five. Through the Vibe is one of them.
Oh, I've got it. It's two words. Omni Trio.
Omni Trio. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And what's it
Hello,
called?
iTunes. Do Through the Vibe. I think that's the one.
Right. Oops. It's not on there. Through the Vibe.
Yeah. Through the Vibe.
And Chinny, what about you?
I don't know. Just an easy one. Like Badadan.
Oh, I've already got that on the list. So I'll be doing
it's
that
an
anyway.
Easy one, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've already got that. I've already got that down. I've got it down. Through the Vibe. So there you go. Through the Vibe 2-on-1 mix I've got.
Oh. It's just called Through the Vibe on this album.
Oh, well, it's 2-on-1 mix. I'm guessing 1994 okay. That came out. So we'll go. So we'll do that one. I'll add that one in. It's not as quite as high a BPM as most drum and bass, to be fair.
That's all right. It's fucking ill, man. I'll tell you what.
158 BPM, though. It's a bit,
can
it's a bit
I play
slow.
It for engineer, or is it going to get struck?
Struck.
All right, I won't play it. Just it's great. Just listen. It's
good. I'll put it on the way. Through the Vibe.
It goes nuts with the things.
I like the fact it's something I've not heard of, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Chinny, have you thought of anything?
D-Bridge, True Romance.
D-Bridged?
D-Bridge, True Romance.
Is it just the letter D? And oh, yeah, D-Bridge, I found it. And True Romance is a VIP original mix. There you go.
Sure.
We'll go with that one.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty fast. It's pretty fast.
BPM only tells you so much, man. There's other things.
Well, most are 80, most of them are 89 D&B tracks.
Just saying.
89. So,
please jump up in a fever when high step in the arena. Yep. All right. Are we done? Now that we've
I think we're done.
Okay. This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Show's over. No refunds. You heard the robot. Get out.
Won't you?
Butterscotch.
What else did you want to discuss?
There you go. By the way, Chinny. My hair is so long now. I have got a headband in.
Yeah.
I've got to the headband stage.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like, just in my face.
What's the plan for the hair?
I don't know. I said to Kay, I think I'm going to get it long enough because I've never had it long enough to tie back, right?
Like Keith.
And then when it's long enough to tie back, I'm going to get it cut.
Yeah.
I'll get it cut when it's long enough.
That's like, I don't know, it's like,
I'm very close, by the way. Just I'll take the headset off and you can see, but it's very close.
Oh, yeah. It is very long, isn't it? It's
long. Yes.
Yeah. His face looks like a butt. He can't hear us. Butt face.
It's very close, look. It's so close.
I don't know. He sort of looks like a sort of sweaty Keanu Reeves. Hi, Stu.
I've had a shower, by the way. I had a shower before we started the show, so it's a bit damp, weirdly.
Sweaty and gorgeous.
But you can see how long it is at the back.
You're making
there.
All
it's
our listeners sweaty.
So, yeah, it's getting there, Chinny. It's getting there. I reckon
about, you're going to get to the point where you can tie it back. You're going to get to the point where you can tie it back and then cut it. It's almost like running a marathon and not getting the medal. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what I'm going to do, what I'm thinking of doing, right, is when it's long enough to tie back, I'm just going to have it tidied up at the back. So I'll have it still long at the top
shade
and sides.
Everything except for the braid.
And just sort of a bit shaved up at the back, just tidied up. So I'm not going to get it completely cut short again.
What does Kay think?
She likes it long. She likes it long.
What does Millie think?
Millie thinks I look like an idiot, but
is any haircut going to change that? To be honest,
true. But do you know what? Do you know what I think? You know what I think? When you've got a hair like mine at my age, you've got to make the most. You've got to celebrate it. You're going to make the most.
I know people younger than me that are bald.
I know, and I've had lots of compliments. Bald can I just say, people are like, "Oh, really like your hair long?"
I shave my head every week. It doesn't matter.
Really suits you long.
When did you go bald? What age?
I don't even know, to be honest. Like probably 40. Like I was shaving my head. I've been shaving my head consistently since I was about 25. So like, I told my hair just don't bother, and it just said, "Okay, fine, fuck off."
It got the memo.
Yeah, and to be fair, right, and even now I've only got a little bit of grey here in the front.
Yeah.
And a tiny bit here at the top of my sideburns. I have a little bit.
It gets us all, Stu.
It'll get me eventually. I know it will.
It'll get you.
But I'm doing pretty well. I reckon I'm doing pretty well at my age not to have much grey hair at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be 52 nearly and not really have much in the way of grey.
52.
I can't believe I'm... I don't feel 52. I don't feel 52.
52 is old, though, isn't it?
It is.
Proper old.
It is, but it isn't. It is, but I don't feel it.
It's not 48.
Yeah, no, it isn't. I still find it hard to believe I'm in my 50s, quite honestly.
I forget that you're in your 50s. I forget that. I'm like, I'm talking to a 50-year-old man.
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it, really? Because I certainly don't feel 50. And I don't think I look particularly 50. I've already said this, haven't I? I saw fucking what's his face who played 007, and he looked fucking ancient. And he's about 4 years older than me, if that, 3 or 4 years older. And I'm like, he looks like an old man.
You haven't had to film like 5 Bond films.
He looked like an old man. And then I saw someone else today and I'm like, God, they look old. And they're not that much different to me. And I'm like, God, you look old. And maybe I just look old and don't realize it. I don't know.
I don't think it's a problem to look old myself. It's like, whatever.
No one wants to look old.
Why is it a problem to look old?
My wife says, every birthday is a blessing.
So, that's right. Every day is a blessing, man. Count your blessings.
Every day. Yeah, you absolutely agree. Waking up in the morning is a blessing. Waking up in the morning.
Anyway, see you later, you old fuck.
Have a good week, you bastards.
You got no work, I'm guessing. You got no work, have you? So you're like...
That's why you look so young, is because you don't have to work ever. You just take weeks off, go to York.
I only work four days a week.
See, there you go.
Go wherever I like.
Can you go on a plane?
Yeah, I can go. I have no issues going on a plane. It's just a bloody cost of travel insurance.
But if you wait long enough, you'll get a pensioner ticket, right?
Well, maybe.
Like a week or something?
Maybe. What might happen, though, to be fair, I've no longer got cardiomyopathy, so it actually means insurance might go down in price. It might not be quite as expensive.
Yeah, but you've got to declare it, though, haven't you?
But one of the things when you do your travel insurance, it asks you, do you have cardiomyopathy? Which obviously increases.
But doesn't it say, like, do you have any history of heart
failure? Yeah. So I'll still have to declare that I've had heart failure.
Or you could just say memory failure and then be like, I don't know what else I've had.
But I don't have to tick the cardiomyopathy box anymore. So, because that's gone. When your heart muscle becomes enlarged, well, mine's back to normal size now, so I haven't got that anymore.
How long ago was it now, Stu? Was it 2 years ago?
No, it'd be 2 years in September. 2 years in September, August, September time. So, yeah, about 18 months. So it feels like a hell of a lot longer, to be fair. But it was weird. The when I was having my echocardiogram done this morning, she was doing it. And it was kind of interesting. So there was a woman doing the scan and then a guy writing the report at the same time. So they were kind of doing it as they went along.
Just their NHS, so they overworked.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how it worked.
Double teamed you.
She was very chatty. She first thing she said, she says, so have you been seeing June 2 yet? So it's this little woman.
No, I've had some problems with my heart, so I haven't been able to go to the theater.
She said, oh, yeah, I went and watched it last night. What did you think? I'm like, oh, it was really good. So we were just chatting while she was doing it. Yeah. And then as we were doing it, he said, loss reports. It was less than 25% like this, right? And he's obviously looking at what she's doing. Yeah. And she's like, that's quite a good impression.
You're watching Big Brother.
So they were chatting away. And you could see that they were like,
he's trying to be like, all right, look at the results of this test. And she's like, oh, Coronation Street last week. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, woman. I'm trying to talk about medical stuff.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Exactly. you could tell he was a little surprised at the improvement from the last report there.
Yeah, we get it. Every week, some new medical professional is just blown away by how amazing your body is.
I'm a miracle.
You're a miracle of modern science.
But yeah, it's kind of, but then I said to her, no, I have had an echo in between, and that was came out at 40-something percent. I had an MRI which said 51%.
She won't settle until his face is next to the word medical marvel.
I am a medical marvel. Right. I feel like
Oxford
I am.
English
I am.
Dictionary.
I am.
Under M.
I'm officially an anomaly. But no, to be fair, she went, was it caused by a virus?
This only affects people under 50, and you're not, clearly not under. Wait a minute, you're 52? What?
Oh my God, yeah. What?
No, she said, was it caused by a virus? And said, it wasn't caused by a virus. She said, but I did have COVID 3 weeks before I was at my worst.
So it was.
So it was enhanced. It was enhanced by COVID.
It seems like it was.
But it's because it's a genetic problem. It's in my family. It's a pathogenic gene, which is great.
Yeah. I haven't got anybody in my family called Jeanette, so it doesn't really matter for
me. Or Gene.
I think what pisses me off the most, and I said this again, is the fact that there would have been nothing I could have done to... I don't think it would have happened this soon, maybe. I think I probably would have had a few more years before anything happened, but... There would have been nothing I could have done to stop it, because
if this was like the '80s, you might have been dead.
No, to be fair, Ginny, I'd have been dead in the early 2000s. It's only probably in the last 5 or 6 years where they've got really good at treating it.
Such a shame.
Yeah. So early 2000s, I wouldn't have been.
No, for the people in the noughties. Not...
Yeah.
I thought you.
It's
a shame that it wasn't 20 years ago.
Yeah. Because
well,
like
still with us, buddy.
Two of the drugs that I'm on only came out in the last 2 years, so two of the drugs I'm taking
drugs are
two
great.
Of the drugs I'm
very
on ketamine and crack
very recent
God, and crack I stick really the Valium up
and ketamine or
I stick well, to be
the
honest
Valium
with you,
up my arse for the cum now.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you, the biggest props have to go out to the cardiac nurses I've had. They've been brilliant. They're the ones that meddle with your medication, so the consultant they're the ones who decide what you take.
They fiddle with it.
What they call it is they optimize your treatment. They optimize your treatment. But the consultants are rubbish. They don't do anything. Yeah. I tell a lie. The consultants of Blackpool may be beta blockers, but most of the stuff's been done by the cardiac nurses.
I was taking beta blockers at one point.
Yeah, for headaches.
For migraines,
you're taking for migraines,
but like regular migraines. I used to get like blurry vision.
Yeah,
and then the doctor was like, "I've had people that basically can't feel the left side of their body because of a migraine."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Millie took beta blockers for her migraines for a while.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said that his migraines were so bad it felt like an alien was coming out through his eyeballs. Oh, that was a very good description there, Kareem.
I could like. He had a tiny bit of blurry vision in the middle, and then it would spread out to the edges of my eyes. And then when that finished, migraine. So yeah, we'll never more going when I've got
that
thing.
Yeah.
It's on its way, yeah.
I've had two what I would say were proper migraines in my life, and that mine was like that, but sparkles. So it like sparkly, so like a bit migraine. In the middle where you could see. Yeah, it was, yeah, maybe. A bit in the middle where you could see, and then the outsides were all sparkly. We're gay all like weird. Colored. Yeah, it was gay.
It was a gay grain.
Gay grain. And then the same thing happened. So that disappeared, and then suddenly it hit you like someone had hit you on the head with a hammer.
Yeah, not fun. Yeah.
But I've only had that twice in my life. So I've only had
I had a series of them. I had like just months and months and months of these. And then probably, touch wood, last one I had was about a year ago. And it's just stopped. The doctor's response was like, that's the way it is. And I'm like, all right, thanks.
Yeah. Lucky they're not worse. Go get out of my office and quit complaining, bitch.
Damn, why have you got your trousers off? Doctor. It's just a migraine. It's like, just
get your pants off. Jerry Seinfeld had a bit about that. It's my head. Take your pants off. How about you take your pants off, Doc?
Anyway.
And Rose is good.
There you go.
Rose is, she's
keep seeing Tara's posts on Instagram.
She's growing, is what she's doing.
6 months yesterday.
Wow, they grow fast.
Sixth of October, so 6th of April yesterday. Whoops, she's 6 months. She's we've been giving her food.
Oh yeah, that's always fun.
You're way too young for food. What are you
so let me ask
no,
you,
no,
Jeannie,
you start the weaning process.
No, you don't like pure red carrots and stuff. Pure red carrots and stuff.
I'm joking. I know she's got food. Yes.
Tara's got a book. It starts the weaning process, so she doesn't necessarily eat it. She more plays with it and experiences taste and
texture.
So the first thing
osmosis
we did
through the side of the cheek.
The first thing we did was broccoli. Yeah, and she did. What is it? The
turnips
begins with a avocados. No. It's a very phallic.
Cashews.
An aubergine?
Not an aubergine. Not quite.
Gherkin?
Courgette?
Courgette. Yes. Courgette. That's so we did some courgette. And then today it was avocado. And I went, avocado, it's a bit posh, isn't it? Yeah. A bit posh. I noticed
drug gangs.
In her poo today that there was some broccoli in it. I was like, it's going through. Because
has she done the face? She's not fussy. Is she fussy then?
She's not really eating. Do you know what I mean? She's
has she done the thank you.
Yeah, she's done the face, but I think avocado has been the best hit, but most of the time, like in her poo today, the broccoli was there. So she's taking it in.
So she's eating it.
But the idea of the book says like she's not necessarily going to eat for like a meal or anything. She's just going to
just want to
basically start the process of her being. And you don't want to give her anything sweet because she'll naturally like sweet stuff anyway.
She's definitely. Wild.
So you want to eat everything that's bitter.
Peaches are good because they're really soft.
It's just every day. So what we're trying to do now is eat in front of her as well because the book talks about how like. She basically will copy everything we do. So we're eating our food every day in front of her, our breakfast, our dinner.
She's gonna start playing video games like next week.
Yeah, I mean, with Millie when we were
teaching,
like
the crime scene.
From as early an age as 6 months, I was reading a book to her at bedtime and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I've read
Rosa?
A book to Rosa. I think the second week.
And we were, earlier than that. But we used to carry, like, whatever you do, I used to tell her what I was doing, you know, like, but not in a baby voice, you know, just sort of say, right, we're walking up the stairs or whatever, you know.
That's it. Like, we've got this chair that she sits in the kitchen and, you know, I make a tea and I'm like, making a tea. Kind of stuff.
And the more stuff you know, the quicker they talk, you know, because they comprehend stuff before they start talking. So, they comprehend stuff sooner than they can actually talk themselves, can communicate.
I put the snooker on. She says, switch this fucking shit off. She's really getting it.
This is the snooker. This is what she plays. He's really
she's
good
very
at it.
Cute. She's getting louder. She screams. You know, she'll laugh. She reaches like really well and grabs stuff. And I feel like she's got good dexterity. Like she can already she's got like a spoon and she wants to eat the other end of the spoon. She'll work out how to move it.
Turn it round.
She's coming on a treat.
That sounds good. Sounds she's, good. Yeah, oh, she's good. She's cute. Well, I will very definitely, cute. We'll have to come down and see you at some point.
Yeah.
We've not seen her in the flesh. We haven't
seen. And you haven't seen this house?
I've not seen your house. I've not seen you.
Duke,
seen
you coming down?
For a long
you coming
time.
Down? Duke, you coming down?
Maybe at some point. I don't know.
Oh, by the way.
Come see the goats.
Fraser is coming to London.
Oh.
Okay.
So he said, would that be something we could do where we could meet up? With everybody.
I'd love to meet Fraser again. So let me know the date. So
I think it's around June. He's going to let me know.
Okay.
So I said, I'll be there, but I can't vouch for everyone else, but I'll be there. So next week we'll announce it properly.
Let me know the actual date and I'll see.
I don't know. He doesn't know. He's working it out, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but so maybe we could find like a gaming thing down there, Stu, meet down there.
Because I am on the holiday. Just a minute. I will tell you when I am on the holiday in June.
All right, well, y'all can sort out these dates. I'm going to bounce. Have a good week, y'all.
Bye, Duke.
See ya.
Okay, that's enough. No more talking.